Mishnah tells us that all of the melachas that are forbidden on Shabbos are forbidden on Yom Tov as well, with the one exception of Echol Nefesh. Maybe next week. Everybody has something. Mishnah says that ain't ben Yom Tov l'Shabbos alaychal nefesh b'vad. Mishnah Beit and the Mishnah Megillah, both Mishnahs say that one is forbidden to do a malach on Yom Tov, just like on Shabbos, except for Eichel Nefesh. That's what the Chumash says. One is permitted to cook food. What says to cook food? So the pasuk says, "Acha sheyachol chol nefesh, bulavado yiyosel lachem." So the Gemara has a drosha lachem v'lo liyakum. You're not permitted to cook food on behalf of a nachri. Not only is not one not permitted to cook food on behalf of a nachri, we pass on also lachem v'lo leklovim. One is not permitted to cook food or to carry food on behalf of behemoths. Let's say the children want to go to the zoo and they want to feed the animals, so that they want to carry something on Yom Tov in order to feed the animals, so that's what the Mishnah says is not allowed. Or let's say there's a nachri in the street and he'd like me to give him an adover, so I'll take a piece of matzah and give it to the nachri. I'll take a piece of chicken or some food that I have in the house and give it to the goy. So the deal is that one is not permitted to carry on Yom Tov on behalf of an Achri or on behalf of Behemoth. It's not allowed.
Even with an Erev?
No, if you have an Erev, then you're not carrying.
Besides carrying the Zayin, it shows Torah Hayom.
Why is this Shalot Torah Hayom?
Why is it
not carrying the Zayin? What if he wants to, let's say he wants to eat the food?
The same thing which is Luther and Yom Tov, Asher Shabbos. Right.
So let's say I want to carry that the behemoth should eat today. I want to carry that the nachri should eat or should use it today. Right.
But
let's say I want to carry a book to read the book today. Let's say I want to carry a book to give to a goy to read on Yom Tov. I want to carry a book for a goy to read on Yom Tov. I'm not permitted to read a dovah chol, a dvar chol b'yom. But let's say I'll carry a book to my next door neighbor, the goy. He wants to borrow Tom Sawyer or something like that. So I want to lend him a goyish book that he should read on Yom Tov. So the din is that I'm not permitted to carry it for the goy. He can carry it. He can carry it. But I'm not permitted to carry
it. No. The
goy. The goy is permitted to carry it. The shaila is whether one is permitted to like you point out very well, you're not permitted to do malach on Yom Tov for after Yom Tov. One is only permitted to do malach on Yom Tov for boba yom to use on that day. Only, right. So you're only permitted to do malach on Yom Tov for Yom Tov, not on Yom Tov for Chol. Shaila is what if, let's say, you have some guests from Eretz Yisrael who only observe one day Yom Tov, and thereby you on the second day Yom Tov. So would you consider that ha'ifim Yom Tov l'chol? If I bake or I cook food on the second day Yom Tov, which for me is Yom Tov, and for the Ben Eretz Yisrael who's visiting by me, is Chol, it's Chol HaMoed.
Yeah, but it's really Kenneth.
It's not Chol.
Different shittas, but the Gemara, the Pashtas in the Gemara, the way it's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, the Gemara says that a Ben Chutzlaret is visiting, a Ben Eretz Yisrael is visiting a Chutzlaret, only observes Yom Tov Rishon, unless it's Ein Daito Lachzor. Bifrahesi is not permitted to do. Right, the Farhesi is not permitted to violate the laws of Yom Tov. To do malacha, most of the posts can assume that even if one does malacha bitzina, that's considered Farhesi. So we don't allow the Ben Eretz Yisrael is visiting a chutzlaret to do malacha even bitzina, because malacha is always considered a Farhesi. Because the people in the building and the people in the neighborhood will always find out that that they were doing malacha. But basically the Gemara says that's the Pashtus and the Shulchan Aruch also, that a Ben Eretz Yisrael who's visiting a chutzlaret and a Daito Lachzor, not allowed to, right? Not allowed to. That's the way the Taz and the Magen Avraham say, based on the Ran and Psochem, that Malachi, even if it's done Bitzine, is considered B'Fares. It's interesting. We had a Talmud Chochem who was visiting from Eretz Yisrael, living in our building for a year. He went back to Eretz Yisrael. So he's an observant Jew, a very religious Talmud Chochem. So on Yom Tov Sheni, he was all by himself with his wife and his children, was all by himself in his apartment. So he would turn on the lights and turn off the lights, and nobody would know about it. So Punk Tufelik, his apartment was in the back of the building, didn't face anybody, it faced the side wall that nobody ever saw, and one of the religious people saw the reflection of the lights going on and going off. So they wondered, how can this fellow be a Talmud Chacham? The lights are going on and going off, and it didn't occur to them that he's a Ben Eretz Yisrael. And didn't occur to them that maybe he had a Shabbos clock? No. That's why he says, that's why Taka says in the poskim that as far as malacha is concerned, even if the person does malacha b'tzina, that's always considered a fehes. The other way you have a big tzluk, if you have a ben chutzlah that is visiting an Eretz Yisrael, that's a big, that doesn't stay b'fehesh anymore. That's a big machlekes in Rishonim. And a big machlekes in Achronim had a pask malach. But in this direction, does stay b'fehesh in the Gemara, mach mishanagot, that if it's a ben Eretz Yisrael is visiting a chutzlah Eretz, so if he didn't come to Echa Yishuv yet, if he's Chutzli Yishuv, so he only observes one day yom. Let's say he's in a city where there are no Jews. It's an Agoyish city, all by himself. So then he only observes one day yom, so he can do Malach all he wants. But if he's Pecha Yishuv, then the Gemara says that he's not permitted to do Malach because we consider it always the Ferhesia, and he's not permitted to do anything else, the Ferhesia that would demonstrate that he's not observing the second day yom. So the Shana is, let's say this Ben Eretz Yisrael is visiting by me. I'm warming up, I'm cooking coffee, I'm cooking food for all the members of my family. So am I permitted to cook food for this Ben Eretz Yisrael as well? Should I consider that? Let's say a separate cup of coffee. Let's say to warm up. He's going to drink it today. I'm cooking it now, and he's going to drink it today. Is that considered, let's say, to carry a sefer for him? He needs a sefer, so he tells me, sure, I should bring a sefer. So I'll carry the sefer today at Yom Tov, that he should learn in that sefer today. So some of him had an einfall. But this is called Oyster Malacha the Yantif Litzorechol. Because for me it's Yantif, it's for him it's Kol. So I'm doing Malacha today on Yantif Ochol.
The same person doing Yantif Ochol two different days. I don't think they're going to roll for the same day.
I mean, you hold that they're wrong. Oh, that's what Rabbi Kivega says. Rabbi Kivega says that it's a like sonnet. Rabbi Kivega has a tshuva that's printed in the Jewish Vachidush where he says that that's a like sonnet. It's my name, from Yantif Ochol. But it's on the same day, how could it be out from Yantif Ochol? So Rabbi Kivega says, he brings a raya. What does the Gemara need to pasuk lochem v'lo liyakum, lochem v'lo l'klovim? That you're not permitted to carry, or you're not permitted to cook any food, or to carry in the street for the behemoth, for the klovim. For the behemoth, for the klovim is always not yontif. It's always cold. So what's the hava mean in the first place? That you should be allowed to cook, or to carry for the nochri, or to carry on behalf of the behemoth. What do I need to pasuk lochem v'lo liyakum, v'lo l'klovim? Zog that it's always yontif l'chol. What's then Rabbi Kivega says, unless maybe you'll say that that's what the pasuk means, that's what it means. That lachem lo liyakum, lachem lo liklovim, because that's considered only from yontif l'chol. Because the akum and liklovim don't have any concept for yontif.
The pasuk goes even on the first day.
On the first day, I'm not permitted.
To a goy,
right.
He's going to eat it on that day.
On that day.
Why?
Because for the goy, it's cold. So that's called hoy from yontif l'chol. The Rabbi Kivega says it doesn't seem so. What do you need a pasuk for? So you say that's what the pasuk tells you, that even though it's all on the same day, since for me it's yontav, for the behemoth, for the nachri it's chol, that's called oisim v'lachom yontav l'chol. So he says it sounds too sharp, sounds too much of a pshat. He doesn't think that that's
then. What does it mean? The malu nuach shorakav l'chol on Shabbat. What's the you know la nuach shorakav? What about
that's a different thing. That's shvisas behemoth. No, the violin, the odd, the bala behemoth is not permitted to allow his behemoth to do malach. Even if I rent it out or I lent my behemoth to a nachri, I have to see to it that the nachri doesn't do malacha with my behemoth on Shabbos and Yom Tov. That's a different problem. Yeah, if the behemoth is a behemoth, shall have care, it's not my problem. I have to see to it that my behemoth doesn't do malacha. So the din is that on Yom Tov, one is not permitted to do any malachas unless it's Eichel Nefesh, but that's only Eichel Nefesh for today. But the Eifem Yom Tov L'chol is not allowed. This Shaila, most of the Paschim are makel on this. Most of the Paschim hold like Rabbi Kivega that this is not called day from the Yontif L'chol. When a person cooks on Yontif on behalf of a Ben Eretz Yisrael for whom today is called, that's day from the Yontif L'Yontif. Rabbi Kivega brings a raya. You can dingzach, he says, you can dingzach with raya. Brings a raya. Let's say one is Rachmana Litzlan observing Shiva. One is in Avelis. So the din is that one who is in Avelis is forbidden to do Malacha. And the Gemara learns it out from a pasuk that says in Novi, "V'hafachti chagechem la'evil," that the Yamim Tovim will be bottled because of Churban Beis Hamikdash, and all the Yamim Tovim will be converted into days of mourning. But just like a chag, just like on a yontif, one is forbidden to do malacha, so to the Ovil during Shiva is forbidden to do malacha. So it says in the Yerideya, the Ovil is forbidden to do malacha during Shiva. So how do they cook food for themselves? How do they prepare their food? Says in Yerideh that just like Eichel Nefesh is Mutar on Yontif, so Eichel Nefesh is Mutar on Avelos during Shiva, because whatever is Mutar on Yontif is Mutar on Shiva. So Rabbi Kivega asks a Shaila, what if the Balabasta, what if the woman is sitting Shiva and she has to cook a meal for her children, for her husband? They're going to say it's Eichel Nefesh. They're not sitting Shiva. She's sitting shiva. The children and the husband are not sitting shiva. So she's allowed to cook for herself. That's Echel Nefesh. That's what the Paschim say. Echel Nefesh is mut on shiva, just like on Yontif. So you mean that the Balabas who's sitting shiva is not permitted to cook some coffee for her husband who's not sitting shiva? This is other from Yontif. So he says, obviously it's mut. We never heard of such a thing. So he says, what did I hear on Yontif Mamish that a Ben Chutzlar, the Tainas, will be permitted to cook on Yontif Sheni on behalf of a Ben Eretz Yisrael? Sudas Havro. That's only the first. We pass on only the first suit on the first day. Right. It's only the first suit on the first day. No. That's a minig that the people want to. The people are sitting shiva. They have no time to prepare the food. The neighbors save them the bother. They help them out by preparing the food for them.
What's this Kubra reverse?
Parhesian
Eretz Yisrael.
And
you're not allowed to observe second
day Yom Tov. What's the Yisir? Mishum Leis is going to do. Just like, what's the halacha? Let's say the Ben Eretz Yisrael is visiting the Chutz Lord. So why is he not permitted to do malacha and do everything with the Parhesian? He'll explain to everyone. He'll tell everybody that he's Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says that it's also because of Mok Mishanogu. You're not permitted to be Mishanim in Minig Amlokim because of Lois Niskaidu. Right. And the same applies in the reverse, that if you had B'nai Chutzlor to come to visit in Eretz Yisrael, they can make a whole Taram and a whole Tumla about the Yom Tov Sheni, but in Eretz Yisrael they don't observe Yom Tov Sheni. So it's not proper that they should do it before us. In this direction, if you have a Ben Chutzlor to visit Eretz Yisrael, so that's what we mentioned before, that's what he brought up, that's a big machlekes, Rishonim and Achronim. Maybe Bechlal does no Yom Tov Sheni. In this direction, the Gemara says Beferish. Ben Eretz Yisrael visits Chutzlores, only has one day Yom Tov, and the second day Yom Tov he only observes Befrahesye, Bishum Lois is Goyder, Shlei Shanim Efnei Aminik. But a Ben Chutzlor to go to Eretz Yisrael, that's a big machlek. That's a big machlek. They have a story I came across recently by Rav Kook, Bechon Lebracha, that he felt that you should pass an halacha like the Chacham Tzvi. That a Ben Chutzlor to visit Eretz Yisrael doesn't have any Yom Tov Sheni at all. Like those who shine him, that in Eretz Yisrael there's no Yom Tov Sheni at all. Even if you're just there for Yom Tov? No. Different opinion.
What do you mean you shouldn't keep it? You shouldn't go down to a separate minyan like yourself. You have a different sheet.
That's the problem, right? No, they're different sheets. No. So the Chacham Tzvi is of the opinion that Yimamish, whoever happens to be in Eretz Yisrael, whether he lives there B'kviyah, so he happens to be visiting B'kroi, whatever, he only has one day Yom Tov. He doesn't have 2 days Yom Tov.
No, I shouldn't have made my second minyan took it when I was there last year.
No, that even though it's a do, most of the can hold not so. And Shulchan Aruch is arguing that a Ben Chutzlor to visit Eretz Yisrael does have 2 days Yom Tov, so then the Post can say, but he shouldn't have a separate minyan. He shouldn't make a separate minyan for Ben Chutzlor because that place is going to do. That's not right.
What about a second Seder in public in a hotel?
That's the same thing, that it's improper, right? That's the same thing. That the Pashto says that it's improper. That those Ben Chutzlor are visiting Eretz Yisrael. So if they want to observe 2 days Yom Tov, they shouldn't do it before Hesia. They should do it somehow with Sin. They shouldn't observe a state of affairs. That's what the Maisa was with Rav Kook. They wanted to encourage tourists to come from Chutzlor to visit Eretz Yisrael. So the hotel wanted to have a Seder for Yom Tov Sheni because most of the Bnei Chutzlor follow the Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch. That was Mekubal for hundreds of years that the Bnei Chutzlor to visit Eretz Yisrael do observe Yom Tov Sheni. Rav Kook, who was then the Rav Rashi, Paskin la'alocha natsi, paskin like the Chacham Tzvi, that there's no Yom Tov Sheni in Eretz Yisrael, even for those at all. Even for those Bnei Chutzlor who were just visiting temporarily, there's no Yom Tov Sheni at all. So they wanted him to lend his name to this flyer, to this advertisement that they were advertising, that they should come and the hotel would sponsor Sedorin, the first Seder and the second Seder. So he said he doesn't hold from any second Seder, he won't sponsor. And they wanted him to give the Hashgoche on the hotel that is kosher. The patient, he says, not going to give Ashgach if they don't follow. He's the chief rabbi. Not going to give Ashgach on a hotel if the hotel doesn't follow his psak. He holds that there's no Yom Tov Sheni. They're all going to make brachas levatole. Going to say kiddush and arbekaisis and matzah and mora. What kind of, how can he give Ashgach? Everything is going to be shloi kiddush. So they saw they're not getting anywhere with him. So the same chevra from the Jewish agency said they went to one of the talmidim of his yeshiva, who was a married fellow, he had a few children, and he was an Arman, leader of Panos. So they didn't tell him that they had spoken to Rav Kook And he said, no, Bishamayfin, he's not going to give a hashgacha to a hotel that violates his shita. They're all going to say brachas without tallis. So they asked him, if you give a hashgacha in a hotel, kosher hotel. So he says, why not? They promised to pay him money. Why not? He's not. What does he have to get involved in the shaila where they have Yantav Sheni? Most of the whole world holds he's aware of Yantav Sheni. It's not his geshefte that Rav Kook holds that not. And then they asked him, maybe you can get Rav Kook that he should lend his name also. After he agreed to be the Mashgiach, and they're going to use his name, the Talmud's name, maybe get Rav Kook that he should lend his name. So he said, he'll see. So he went to Rav Kook to ask if he'd be kind enough to lend his name also. So Rav Kook realized that if he's going to say no, the Talmud is going to feel bad, he'll want to give up the Hashgach, and he already promised, and he needed the money. And so what's he going to do? So he said that he thought it over a moment or so, and then he said he'll lend his name, provided that they have an orchestra playing music for the second state. Only on the condition. So that the Orthodox Jews, the only Jews who are going to come to this, are going to be Orthodox Jews anyway. The Orthodox Jews know that there's no orchestra playing, you don't have orchestra playing music on the state. No, any music. So he said he will only give a hashgacha on the hotel Kosher LePesach if they have music playing by the second Seder under his auspices, that they should all know that he holds that there's no Yantav Sheni. If they want to make the Seder, that's their geshef, but his hotel is giving the hashgacha on the Kosher LePesach, on the kashrus, and on the orchestra. Good? Good? No, so the people will know that it's under the hashgach of the chief rabbinate, and the chief rabbinate does not sponsor the Seder. If they want to make their own Seder, that's their problem, but he's the chief rabbi, he's not sponsoring this at all. Yeah. He insisted that they have to have the hashgach.
Only if Sukkot falls, Sukkot falls on there, okay, on Shabbat. First day Sukkot falls on Shabbot. So you take it out of school, you bench Sukkot the second day. You bench out Sukkot the second day, so it's not the Yom HaRishon, it's not the Yom HaRishon, the Yom HaShem. A Chutzlor, it's a Ben Chutzlor, who comes there, when he takes it, it's
the Sekhid Yom.
So he's taking it back to like the Yom HaRishon.
So he needs Shabbat.
He has a more keen mitzvah of the Kapha Ben HaRishon than the. But if you say that
the Rabbanon, he means Shalachet. Then
it's
so nothing.
According to these, this Pesach, you're not supposed to do anything. You're not supposed to.
That's what he passed. That's what Rav Kook passed. And many gedolim. There were many gedolim on each side. Most of the poskim from the Shulchan Aruch, most of the poskim assume that a ben chutzlos of Israel still has all the regular dinim of Yom Tov Sheni Shogog. And now, because in Eretz Yisrael there's such a big machlokes that most of the poskim always assume that those tourists who visit do have 2 days Yom Tov. And then Rav Kook and several other Gdolim, Amiyus and Gdolim held that there's only 1 day Yontif, and so you don't have any 2 days Yontif. That's why many Rabbanim today recommend that you should make some kind of a compromise. You should be Machmir to be Yotzei Yidei Kol Hashit. And then how you make the compromise, so then they're invited to different opinions. So some hold a day and a half. But what does it mean a day and a half? What does it mean a day and a half? So some say that what it means, no. Some hold a Nikara, then you follow the way Rav Kook said, that it's really chol, and you daven tefillah chol, and you put on tefillin with a brach and everything. You don't do malacha. And others hold the reverse. And Nikara, then they hold like the Beis Yosef, like the overwhelming majority of all the poskim, like Moshe writes, I'll be pshitus. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. That's what the Rav HaPoskim hold, and that's the din. The Ben Chutzlot is visiting Eretz Yisrael has 2 days Yontif. He's only touring. And then just they want to be machmal yotzis on the other sheetes, so they'll put on tefillin betzina b'libroch. That's the machlek. That's Rav Kook held. Okay. Okay. Did he say that what? No, So you're Ben Chutzlor who's visiting Eretz Yisrael. You basically plan to go back to Chutzlor, and you have all of your you have your.
No.
A different sheet. So the din is that on Yontif, one is only permitted to do malacha on Yontif for Yontif, and only Ba'ad Yisrael, and not Ba'ad Nachri, and not Ba'ad Behemoth. Lachem v'lo liyakum, and lachem v'lo liklovim. You say, Ashala, let's say there is an Erev in the community. Are you permitted then to carry on behalf of the Goyim? Permitted to carry on behalf of the Behemoth? That's kind of not so poshut. That's not so poshut. Why? Because the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Shita Saritva in Beitzer that an Erev Hatzer is only helped on Shabbos. If you have mamish room that has mechitzes, then there's no hoitzah at all. But if you have, it's mamish Rishu Sayyachid. But if you have a Rishu Sayyachid with different homes open into it, like in the streets or in an apartment building, the halls, and then you have to make an Erev Hatzer to allow tiltul. So the Ritva Shita is based on the Gemara that Erev Hatzer is only helped on Shabbos, because if you won't have the Erech HaTzeres, you'll be stuck, won't be able to carry anything at all, period, zero. There won't be any Hatzeres at all to carry. But on Yom Tov or whatever you need, whatever, you're allowed to carry. Nobody, you're not allowed to carry for a Nochri, for a Behemah, or things that are Shalom HaTzorah Klal, let's say just to leave things in your pocket without emptying it out. So if you're in the house, you can leave your handkerchief in your pocket. There's no Yisr HaTzorah at all if you carry a handkerchief. Shabbos, what if, let's say, on Yom Tov, the person leaves the handkerchief in his pocket when he goes to shul, and he doesn't have a cold, and he doesn't think he's going to need a handkerchief. So is he allowed to carry it or not? If there's no Erev, let's say he doesn't need it all. He doesn't need a handkerchief at all.
People carry handkerchiefs every time. Okay,
gloves. Okay, so hot day, and he carries his gloves. So he's carrying Shalom Torah. Okay. Let's say gloves and Pesach. Okay, gloves Shavuot. Okay. Why gloves Pesach also? It's not cold. If the person doesn't think that he needs the thing, so that's Shalom Torah Klal. If there's no Erev, so he's certainly not permitted to carry. What if there is an Erev and you want to leave the gloves in your pocket? So the Ritva's opinion is that you're not permitted to on Yom Tov. If it would be Shabbos, you would be allowed to. On Shabbos, you're permitted to carry even things that are Shalom Torah Klal. If you have an Erev, it's like carrying in the house. But on Yom Tov, well, whatever, it's Letzorech, you're permitted to carry, you don't need an Erev. So what are they going to be, Misakin and Erev HaTzeres, for the sake of carrying things, Shalom HaTzorah Klal, so the Ritva Shita is that there's no Erev HaTzeres for Yom Tov. The Erev HaTzeres only works for Shabbos, not for Yom Tov. So the Mishnah Berurah points out that the Shulchan Aruch paskins against that Ritva. There are those who are machmer for the Ritva, that to carry Shalom HaTzorah Klal on Yom Tov is not allowed even with an Erev HaTzeres, if it's a place, if it's an area where you would have to come on to the use of an Erev HaTzeres. And then the Mishnah Berurah points out that the Mechaber writes, Lapuke the sheep. He comes Lahoitzi Mishita Zu, that the Ramon, in the beginning of Tav Kuf Yud Ches, quotes La Loha Beferish from the Ran, that if he made an Erev HaTzeres, he was even permitted to carry Shalom HaTzorah HaYom Klal. So that's why about carrying for the Nachri, or carrying for the Behemoth, if there is an Erev HaTzeres, the Shulchan Aruch would say that it's Mutter, but it wouldn't be muskam l'chaladei. The Ritva would say that you wouldn't be allowed to carry in that case.
There's no pasuk like the Ritva with the handkerchief with the gloves, so not the pasuk like the Ritva with the
nafri. Right, right. In Shulchan Aruch, we do not.
To, I mean, you make it sound like for the fourth nafri.
No, we do not pasuk like the Ritva, but those who are interested in being machmer to the Yotzi, they call us shittas. So this is a prominent shittas, the Ritva, based on a Gemara like that. The Gemara has a din, a special din on Yom Tov, that one is not permitted to invite a Nochri to his meal on Yom Tov. Many say on Pesach night you shouldn't invite a Nochri because the Pasuk says Kol Benecha Lo Yoichal Boi, that you're not permitted to invite a Nochri to participate in Achilas Korban Pesach. But another Yom Tov, people think that it's permissible. But the Gemara says not so. The Gemara doesn't give that time. Right? The Gemara says on Shabbos that we don't cook any food at all, even for ourselves we don't cook food. So we are permitted to invite a Nachri to eat by us on Shabbos because we're not afraid that we'll cook on behalf of the Nachri, because we don't cook at all on Shabbos. It's also the Malacha. But on Yom Tov, when we are permitted to carry or to cook or to do any Malacha, that's Litzorach HaChol Nefesh for Yisrael. So we are afraid that if we will invite a Nachri over to eat, even though all the food is prepared already, everything is warmed up already, we are afraid. Maybe the Nachri will ask for a cup of coffee or ask for something extra, and we will cook on behalf of the Nachri. So that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that one is, it's like Gemara and Beis, that it's also it's also to invite a Nachri to eat by you on Yom Tov. Gzeir Hashem Yarbe Bishvila. On Shabbos is Mutter, and on Yom Tov it's us. What if you have a Yisrael who's absolutely non-observant? So the Morgan Avraham has a machlekes regarding this. He quotes the machlekes Achrayim. What's the din of Yisrael who's a mumer, din of Ka'akum? A Yisrael who absolutely doesn't observe anything, doesn't observe any of the din of Torah, and Allah would declare him as a mumer, din of Ka'akum, as a healer, Shech Tebehem, we would declare Shechitos and Avela. We would declare his Shechit as being an Avela if he's really a mumer who's din of Ka'akum. Mumer, din of Ka'akum means, let's say, a Jew who doesn't observe the majority of the laws that he is familiar with. Many Jews never heard of any of the laws. Let's say he knows there's a chometz you're not allowed to eat on Pesach, and you're not allowed to do malach on Shabbos, you're not permitted to eat on Yom Kippur, and you have to go to shul for daven on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and what else? Kaddish, you have to say Kaddish, and you have to sit shiva on your side and Yisker, and he doesn't observe the majority of these dinim. The dinim that he heard of, the dinim that he never heard of, is Ogeret, that he doesn't observe. A shatnas he never heard of, and whatever else, the fancy dinim, chodesh he never heard of, whatever, the zakas dinim he never heard of, tefillah kelim he never heard of. Tefillin he never heard of. Well, let's say the dinim that he heard of, he doesn't observe the majority of those dinim. A person who doesn't, who violates roi dini ha'teira that he heard of, that he's aware of, but that's all. That's a mumer dina ka'akum. Many poskim say that the man is that you don't have the din of mechal shabbos b'frahesia dina ka'akum, because it's hard to consider a person mechal shabbos b'frahesia if they're in the majority. That's what many poskim say. The dinim tia and the chazanish and many others in between. And the Chal Shabbos b'Frahesi Dina Kakum Heis, if the majority of Klal Yisrael are observant, and he's breaking the discipline. He's the Yaitzim in Aklal. So that's called b'Frahesi, that he's breaking the discipline. But if they are the Klal and the Orthodox Jews are the minority, so it's hard to call them Chal Shabbos b'Frahesi. That's called Chal Shabbos b'Tinah. It's not called b'Frahesi. B'Frahesi means that he's demonstrating that he's breaking the whole discipline. So that din you don't have. Chal Shabbos b'Frahesi Dina Kakum, many times we don't have that. An Ovid Avodah Zarah Dina Kakum, we don't have so often that a Jew should be an Ovid Avodah Zarah. Sometimes, yeah. But the other din you do have, what the Prima Gadim says is a Dava Pasha, that if there's a Mumer, the Rav Dina Hatera, then he's also Dina Kakum. So that, unfortunately, we can have. We can have people who are aware of certain mitzvahs, and they violate the majority of the mitzvahs that they have heard of. There's also Dina Kakum. So the Magen Avraham has a Machlekes, what's the din? You have to try to be Makarav. I'm not a mitzvah being Kakum. No, but the Shad is How about you bring him in? So the shayla is, are you permitted to cook for this fellow on Yom Tov? No, this is the shayla. Are you permitted to cook for this person on Yom Tov? So if he's Dina Ka'akum, the Gemara doesn't say Dina Ka'akum for everything. Let's say this fellow who's a Mumma, L'cholot HaRakula, goes in his Mekadosh and Isha. So the Gemara says Kiddush of Kiddushin. Even if he's an Eivet of a Dizor, that it's Dina Ka'akum, it's still Kiddush of Kiddushin. So some goyim say that it's only lechumra midrabbanan, that the meshumas who's mekadosh and ish is only the kedusha nachal is only lechumra midrabbanan. That's what the Maharam Rutenberg quotes in the tshuva, the shitas hagoyim. The goyim have a unique shita that a mumer is dina kakum, really means dina kakum. A meshumah is mamish dina kakum. He loses kedusha yisrael, and when he decides to do tshuva, he has to undergo geirus all over again min atayra. And the Rav HaPosim do not accept. That's the Shita Sagoinim, that a Mumer ain't a Zoike. They hold not so. Chota is a little chet. But if he's a Mumer, Dina Kakum, then they hold literally is Dina Kakum. He literally loses the Kedushas Yisrael. And they're of the opinion. Okay? So that's what saves all of us, that we're still Yisrael. But one is a Chota to the extent that he's Dina Kakum, either Rav with Avodah Zarah, Machal Shabbos B'Frahesia, or a Mumer, the Rav Dina Atera, who's really Dina Kakum. So they hold Kipshuto, Dina Kakum. And if he decides that he wants to become observant again, then he has to undergo geirus. That's how the goyim have a wild sheet. He has to undergo geirus. We're not there. They're right. Yeah, we don't paskin like the goyim that you need geirus minatera, but we require it midirabbanan. We require hatafas damris midirabbanan. That the Jew became a meshumet. If he just became a mechal shabbos b'fehesi or a david avidizara, and then he wants to or mumel rov dini atera. And then he wants to return again, so then we wouldn't require this. But if it became a meshumet mamish, if he converted officially, not time he goes into church once in a while to pray in the church and Eved Avodah Zarah, but if he officially converted, then the goyim say that's the real McCoy, that's mamish mumet dina kakum, he loses his kedushas Yisrael. That's the famous shita sagoyim that the goyim say. Let's say there were two brothers, and one brother dies leaving no children. He was married, he dies leaving no children. So his wife has to have chalitza. So what if the living brother who survived him is a meshumet? So the Gaonim's opinion is that his dina ka'akum mamish, and the wife, the almona, can remarry without khalif. The Ramah says we don't paskin like the Gaonim. La'alocha, we're just machmeh for the shita tagim. Machmeh, let's say the brother died, believe on him, the married brother died, believe on him, leaving two brothers. He leaves two living brothers. And one of them is Jewish. One of them did not convert, not so Jewish. One of them, both not so observant, let's say. One of them did not convert, and one of them is mamish and meshuvim. One of them converted to the other religion. So then the Ramah says, you have to be machmer for the shita sagainim, that the brother who converted to the other religion should not do the chalitza. Only the brother who didn't convert, even though he's also just as non-observant, let's say he's a communist or he's an atheist or whatever, he doesn't keep anything anyway. They're both on the same level of observance, except that this one signed up officially to be a member of another religion. So then the Ramah is machmer that the chalitza must be done dafka by the one who didn't convert, to be choshish l'chumer for the shitas ha-gonim. But mikra adin, we really don't paskin like the gonim. We paskin halacha that a mumer is dina kakum, doesn't really mean literally dina kakum, he loses his kedushas Yisrael. We assume Yisrael afal pishachoto. Yisrael who means even the mumer. It's also just dina kakum. But attack if he converts and he wants to return back to the Jewish religion, then we require midirabbanon, hatofes damris, if it's a man. And we require tefillah midirabbanon, that says in Yeruday, that's based on another Zerabnos. Based on truth. Yeah, tefillah without a bracha and a hatofes damris. Or let's say a couple converts to another religion and they baptize their children with them. And then when they grow up later on, the children want to return, they want to be Jewish. So they never converted on their own, they were converted by their parents. So that's a serious shayla in poskim. The Rishonim talk about that. When the children were baptized by their parents, they didn't convert out of their own free will. So the pashtus is that in that case you wouldn't require the hatofes damris with the tefillah all over again. That's only if this person himself converted. Yeah. So it's a dion Rishonim talk about it in Sanhedrin talk. The Gaonim say you need Mila Hatov Zabris and Tfilah Min HaTorah because it's Mamash HaNochri Gomorrah when he wants to convert. We pass him with the Rabbanon. The Yeruday quotes him with the Rabbanon. So now there's Rav Nosson. That you require we're Machmeh L'Chatzchila, we're Machmeh for the Chumash HaGaonim HaChalitza. That if the brother who is married and died, leaving no children, leaves, has two surviving brothers. One of them...
There is only one.
The one is converted. So then she's not permitted. No, there is. The Gaonim would say that there's no need for chalitza. We don't pass him like the Gaonim. We pass him that mikra then you do need chalitza. We're just choshish for the shita sagonim if the brother who died leaves two living brothers, and one of them has converted to another religion, and the other one is non-observant, but he didn't convert to the other religion. So then the chalitza should only be done by the one who didn't convert to the other religion. So the shayla is, let's say you have a person who's a mumer dina ka'akum, and it doesn't mean dina ka'akum that he's really a goy. Even if he's mamish a mumer, even if he's mamish converted to another religion, we do not really paskin like the goyim. So we paskin a mumer dina ka'akum, he has certain dinim like a goy and other dinim not. And if he's Mekadosh and Isha, we pass him at the Kedushan Achal Min HaTorah. It's not like the Gaonim say the Kedushan are only Achal Min HaRabbanan. The Kedushan are really Achal Min HaTorah. So the question is, what about regarding this din? So the Gemara has, where do you apply the din of Mumah Din HaKach Meshech Tebehem Mishra Shechitos and Avela? And B'negeh to other din of Mekadosh and Isha, I say the Kedushan Achal. So B'negeh to some din of the din of Kisil, B'negeh to other din of Din HaKach. Let's say, which Kinyonim work on such a Mumah? Do you have Kinyoni Yisrael or Kinyoni B'nei Noyach? So that's the whole din on the Tshuvas HaRitvot. That's the whole Machlekes HaRishonim. No, not I'm certainly not permitted to sell him the Chomei, because that would be Lifnival Esitim Mitzvot. I'm giving him the Chomei, and it'll be Vayta Chomei Shavu La Pesach. That's certainly not permitted to do.
What about the Goyim?
According to the Goyim, you may sell the Chomei. If he converted to another religion, according to the Goyim, you'll be allowed to. So the Shaila is, since we passed that he's only Dino Ki'akum, and he gets to some Dinim, and he gets to other Dinim not, and it's unclear in the Gemara what the klal is. You have to figure out which Dinim is Dino Ki'akum, which not. Rav Soloveitchik once said, but it doesn't really, it helps a little bit, doesn't help really too much. He said, when he gets to which Dinim is the Mumah Dino Ki'akum, and he gets to which Dinim is the Dino Ki'akum. So he said that, and how can you split some, what do you mean, when he gets to some Dinim is the Kaddish and Isha is Chal. And if he shechts the name is Nevela, how do you explain that? So Rav Soloveitchik wanted to say that every Jew has two levels of Kedushas Yisrael. He said based on the pasuk in Oz Yashir, Zekele Yadveyu, Rekeyavi Varebi Menes. So Rashi comments on that pasuk. Rashi quotes in the Chilta that Tchilas HaKdusha doesn't begin from me, the Tchilas HaKdusha comes from my forefathers. Zekele, this is Taka, mine God. I accepted Rabbi Shalom as my God, but also Rekeyavi. The Tchilas HaKdusha comes from the Yavi. So the Rav commented on that Rashi. Rashi says Tchilas HaKdusha doesn't begin from me. So it sounds like every soul has a Kedusha Yisrael of two levels. One Kedusha Yisrael he has because he's a descendant from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. He has another Kedusha Yisrael because he himself believes. He himself accepts. What do you mean accept for a gear?
A
gear also we say. No, Mitzvah gear also we say can be made of the Kairi. He says Mikra Bikurim. Mitzvah he does. Mitzvah he does because the gear can say when he brings the Bikurim, he says the Mikra Bikurim. Because we pass like Rav Yehuda in the Yerushalmi against the Mishnah Bikurim, that Avraham Avinu was called Av Hamon Goyim means the father of the Gerim, right? The Rambam. Well, the Mishnah says not. The Mishnah says that a Ger is made of Enikor, right? The Mishnah says that not. The Mishnah says that not. But the Rambam and Tosfos and Baba Basra and Daf Peyalef also quotes the Yerushalmi, and the Shulchan Aruch passes like that. That we pass him against the Mishnah Bikurim. We pass him like the Yerushalmi that quotes Rav Yehuda Shita that the Ger is made of a Kuri. The Ger is also called a descendant of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So the Rav suggested that one who's a Meshumet, one is a Mumah, Dina Ka'akum, doesn't have the Kedusha that Zekeli, Leibtachnisht, he doesn't accept it. But the Kedusha of the Ovis, he does have. So the Rav said, this is the split. That whenever you have a Din that depends on Kedusha Yisrael, which depends on being a Ben Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, a descendant from the Ovis, so that Din the Meshumet will have. So if he's Mekadosh and Isha, the Kedusha Nachal. But if you have a din that depends on your Kedushas Yisrael, that you have to have a Kedushas Yisrael on your own, not a Kedushas Yisrael as a Yerusha from the Ovis HaKadoshim, so that the Mumer will not have. So the Shechita depends on that. The only thing is, he just shifted the problem. So how do you know which din depend on the Kedusha that comes to Yerusha from the Ovis, which din depend on this? So he said he doesn't know how to figure it out, but he thinks that this should be up as the beginning of the Mahalath. He thinks that this is the beginning of the Pshat. And at the end of the Pshat, he doesn't know how to go by it. So the shaila here is, the Magen Avraham quotes the shaila, is one permitted to cook on Yontif on behalf of a mumer? Let's say you have a mumer who's dina ka'akum. That if he would be mekadosh and isha, the kedushin would be chal, because he's dina ki'yisrael. But if he shechts the behemish, chitos and avela, because he's dina ka'akum, so some dinim he has ki'yisrael, some dinim ka'akum. What about lachem v'lo li'akum? One is permitted to cook on Yontif, or chonefesh, only lachem v'yisrael. But for a nachri, you're not permitted to cook. So what if you cook on behalf of one who is a mumer? So the Magen Avraham calls the machloikis acharim abelyim mizrochi, and other acharim have a whole machloikis. What status the mumer has, and depending on what status he has, will be a shayla if you're permitted to invite him to your home on Yontif. If he's dina kakum and you're not permitted to cook on his behalf, then just like the yakum, you're not permitted to invite to your home, so you wouldn't be allowed to invite the mumer. The mumer who's dina kakum, not Sam, he doesn't observe, he talks lashon hara, he does a couple of other. The mumer who's dina kakum, let's say the mumer the roi dina atera, that's the mumer that is shayla. Mumel of Edizor usually we don't work with, and the Mumel of Chal Shabbos Befehesia most of the time we don't bump into. We don't have this, not Befehesia, but the Mumel, the Rav Dina Atera, that you can sometimes have. So the fellow who's a Mumel, the Rav Dina Atera, who would be Dina Ka'akum, are you permitted to invite him to your home on Yom Tov or not? That's the Shal. So the Magen Avraham quotes the Machlekes. The Mishnah Brura, when he talks about this Din, writes, he doesn't quote that it's a Machlekes in the Magen Avraham. He says that a Mumel is Dina Ka'akum, and you're not permitted to invite him to your home, and you're not permitted to cook for him at Yontif. And then at the bottom, when it gives you on the Sharat Zion, it gives you what's the Mara Mokum. So instead of telling you that this is a big debate in Achrayim as quoted by the Magen Avraham, he just writes Pashut. Whenever there's a Pashut to Din that doesn't need a Mokum, he writes Pashut. Obvious. Self-understood. Amumadina Kakum is great, and that's self-understood at all. The Magen Avraham on that daf, on that page in the Arachayim, quotes the Machlekes, because the Amumadina Kakum is not Dina Ka'akum L'chol HaTorah Kula. He's Mekadosh and Isha. We pass in Kiddushim, Kiddushim and HaTorah, not with the Rabbanim like the Shita HaGreinim. We pass in Kiddushim, Kiddushim and HaTorah. So granted, not so partial, but that's the Psaka of the Mishnah Berurah.
When you say Mumah, you mean Mumah in thought or in action? In other words, you have to make a Mishpah. You have people who don't know, but they are Mumah in terms of they transgress the other.
I mean, they do B'Shege.
And you call that a shaykh? I mean,
yeah. They never heard of the Dinah. But let's say they heard of the Dinah. They know that they're Jewish.
But it's not something which, you know, it was.
They think it's a Midas Hasidus. So they don't know. So they never heard of the Dinah. Amretach, let's say a person knows the Dinah and he violates the Rav Dinah Hatar that he heard of, he violates the Nazir. So that's a Mumah, Dinah Ka'akum. That's a Mumah, Dinah Ka'akum.
So if a man, a woman, or a religious woman is married to not a religious guy, a fellow, he can't cook from beer.
Mm-hmm. It depends how non-religious he is.
Well, I mean, he doesn't observe. He doesn't know.
That's a machlokes. 2 days in the Magen Avraham.
So you should be able to invite the consumer to the house if he likes you.
If he writes to you. No. That's a shot.
Why doesn't the din of Eva come in? Like, first of all, Shabbos is din of Mechal Shabbos.
And it says in the Rishonim, the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Rashba, and even if there's a hashash of Eva, that the guy, let's say, is the local sheriff or the local mayor in town, and if he wants to be invited over on Yom Tov, and if you want to invite him over, you tell him our religion doesn't allow us. I'll invite you any Shabbos, but not Yom Tov. He'll be very angry. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Tshuva Rashba, and even if there's a chashash eva, it's not allowed. It's not allowed. We don't allow this. It's only agzera the rabbanon. Why should there be some machmas adoshtes? The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Rashba is not allowed. We know that in many kufis, in many generations, the gedolim would invite goyim to their homes. So the poskim points out, Dayan Grossman has an interesting shul about this. He points out earlier, poskim will say that the only time this is forbidden to invite the nachri, gzeir Hashem yarbid b'shvila, is if the one in charge of the food in the kitchen is in Yisrael. But let's say all the food is cooked already, and you have goyim taking care of the kitchen. Let's say you have a big seder. They have goyim warming up the food. They have goyim cook the food at the anisa from bishul akum. Take that minute. But you have Goyisha help, and they're taking care. And you have the balabas, the watchers, or the yidna watching, to make sure they don't make anything straight. But all of the cooking, all of the heating and the warming is done, being done by Goy. So then, many poskim hold halacha that there's no Gzeir Hashem Yarbi Bishvila. So if you ever have to invite over a Goy on Yom Tov, get some Goyisha help. Get a Goyisha maid, so there won't be any chashash of Gzeir Hashem Yarbi Bishvila. But if you don't have any Goyisha...
You own a hotel. You don't know all the people there.
So you have to have Goyisha help taking care of all of the food in the kitchen. Because if the Yidin do some of the... If the Yidin do any more... If you only have a Mashgiach and he doesn't touch anything, so that's okay. Just watches, doesn't touch, then it's okay. But if you have some Yidin who are doing some of the cooking, they invite the Tegnish. Even if you have a Hashash Sheva, you're not permitted to invite him up.
Even
Yeah. I don't know. He wants to know who's. He says, let's assume all the people who come are religious people, all the customers. Yeah, but what about the Goy Shelf? So who warms up the. How do they have them?
But you lot of your own animal.
It's only animals. The Nachrim not. The animals also not. We pass you're not permitted to do a malacha for the animals. You're permitted to prepare the food. There's no way to tirch a shlod. So doing malacha is not allowed. No, we pass in. That's one time hold that your own animals you're allowed to do malachas for because it's mezane same malacha. It's your obligation to feed them. And we're machmir. Tosfos has two opinions there, Rabbi. The Tam, the Rashban, had a pasuk. But in Shulchan Aruch, we're machmir that you're not permitted to do malacha even if it's for your own animals. That's mezane same malacha. The only thing that you have a cooler that if it's your behemoth. Is on the same malacha that you're permitted to do something is that normally you're not permitted to feed any animals. Let's say to put food out in the backyard for the wild animals on Shabbos Yom Tov, or let's say to throw food. Let's say people go Shabbos and Yom Tov both. You're not permitted to ain't nice in the same design as the Shabbos Yom Tov. You're not permitted to feed any animals on Shabbos Yom Tov unless it's mizane seim alecha. Let's say people go Rosh Hashanah and they go to Tashlich and they throw in food to the fish. So the Maharil has a taina that you're not allowed to throw food. He used to throw food into the fish. So he says you're not allowed to. It's the same mizane seim alecha.
They're doing it for a different reason. They think that's the
veil.
They're throwing away their
veil. Shabbos Shira. Right, and many poskim say, the Magen Avraham says that you're not permitted to feed the birds on Shabbos Shira. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes others and say, no, that is called Mezane Seim Alecha, because since it's a minig that you have to, out of Hakaras HaTevi, you should feed them. Therefore, no, it's called Mezane Seim Alecha, because we want to give them back. We want to pay them the Hakaras HaTayyib. Right. But basically the din is that's what's mutter. If it's mutter, and same alech lematzah the yisur against being matriach unnecessarily. It's a tircha to feed animals. It's only mutter if it's mutter, and same alech. Milk a cow? No, milking a cow is a malacha both on Shabbos and Yom Tov. And even if you want to drink the milk on Yom Tov, you're not permitted to milk a cow. No. Sabar Chaim is a problem. So Amir and Nochri we allow, but Mokhim Sabar Chaim. We're permitted to ask a goy. You don't have a Nochri, so then you have to milk the cow into food. You have to put chalva or some kind of food on the bottom so that the milk should go directly, be nivla, into the food. So then there's no malacha at all. But if the person doesn't do it into food on the bottom, then it's a malacha even on Yom Tov. Even if you want to drink the milk on Yom Tov, and Lacheret Mamash Erechal Nefesh, the Gemara says in the beginning of Beitzah that Erechal Nefesh is not matter every single malacha on the books. There are many malachas that are not allowed. So the Gemara gives us one of the mishalim squeezing out fruit. Every Yom Tov people ask the shayla. Dear Avada, let's say you want to pull off a fruit from the tree on Yom Tov and eat it. So that's mafurish that you're not permitted to. A person wants to go fishing on Yom Tov in order to have some delicious, fresh, dried fish. So that's a mishnah that you're not permitted to. No, that's a different thing. That's not Shire Nitzra. But this is just my meal. So this the Gemara says is not allowed. This is not allowed. For Makam Mitzvah.
Is not squeeze orange for juice?
No. That's the Gemara says. You're not permitted to squeeze oranges. Every Yom Tov people forget. That's the Gemara in the second Daf in Beit Shan, Daf Gimel. The Gemara says that although Echol Nefesh is mutter on Yom Tov, one is not permitted to squeeze lemons. Whatever fashion, you're not allowed to squeeze lemons on Shabbos. You're not allowed to squeeze the lemons into the tea on Yom Tov. The same as on Shabbos. You're only permitted to squeeze the lemons into sugar or to squeeze it into fish. Mashka Bolotachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachach nefesh. The Tosafot gives a whole dissertation why, but that's one of the exceptions to the rule. Is squeezing fruits or milking the cow is not allowed on Yom Tov, only in the same fashion that it's allowed on Shabbos, right? Or plucking off fruits from the trees, or going fishing, and so on. These are some halachas that are not allowed on Yom Tov.
If feeding the glacier helps in Yom Tov in the hotel is not good, how do all these wealthy people have maids in Europe?
They cook for themselves. They pretend for themselves.
Why they feed them
yesterday? The women, some of the ladies cook for them.
They cook for the women, for the house. Yeah. The women did their own cooking.
They didn't do their own.
I don't know.
For Shabbos they did.
For
young
generation. I don't know.
I don't know. For themselves.
They started doing Shabbos. They made.
Tosafot has a kasha. That's a good question. I don't know what they did.
The maid cook for the women. The house.
No. Lady cook for the maid. Tosafot has a kasha that somebody mentioned before. How can you say that you're not permitted to invite a nochri on Yom Tov? K'zeirah shemiyarbe b'shvilo. And what says if you'll be marbe b'shvilo means instead of cooking a half a kettle of water, you'll cook a whole kettle full of water to have an extra cup on behalf of the goyim who are visiting on Yom Tov. But the Gemara says mefurish that on Yom Tov, if you want to cook water, let's say for yourself, on Yom Tov I want to cook water up in order to drink some water. So I don't have to be mitzamtzim exactly how much water I need. I can hold it under the faucet till the whole kettle gets full to the top, even though I know the vaday that it's 10 times as much as I need. And the reason why I'm holding under the faucet so long is because I want to save it from a tzoy yontif. I hold it under the faucet now. I want to have a hot cup of coffee now, yontif in the afternoon, and I'm going to leave the kettle on top of the fire so that right after Havdol I'll have a hot cup of coffee. So the Gemara says that it's mutter. That's called marbe b'shur. That is mutter l'harbe b'shur. Now let's say, for example, a woman wants to cook flesh on Yom Tov. So she has a whole chicken. She has a whole chicken, a raw chicken. She wants to cook it on Yom Tov. And let's say she doesn't need so much chicken. She only needs a little bit. So the din is that she doesn't have to start cutting up the chicken in little pieces and only put a little bit. She can put in the whole chicken or the whole roast or a whole pot full of chutney or whatever. Even if it's bevaday 100% definite, she doesn't not going to eat it. There's no other Jew in the city. She'll get sick if she's going to eat so much. It's het the gomer, the Gemara says, to cook up the whole thing on Yom Tov.
Maybe she's going to get
the Gemara says it's mutter legamre. Not because morgishmak. No, if it's morgishmak, then she's even permitted to do in the following fashion. Let's say like this. Let's say the woman already has the pot on the fire in the water, with the water there. Then she puts in one piece of chicken. Then she puts in another piece of chicken. She puts in a third piece of chicken. But that's not marbe the shiurim. If it's already on the fire, so that's marbe the melacha. Every time she puts a piece of chicken in, that's the ma'isa bishul. So that you're not allowed to do. Meretach like this. She has a whole big chicken. It's one piece. Or a whole big roast of meat. So she takes the whole piece at one time, and she puts the whole thing in the pot, and then she puts it on the fire. That's called marbe the shiurim. And that's allowed on Yom Tov, even if your intention is beferish from a Toi Shabbos. Let's say if I have the fire is over here and I have the pot over here and I have the chicken is cut up in little pieces. So I take one piece of chicken, I put it in, another piece, I put it in, another piece, I put it in. But it's not on the fire yet. And then the ma'isa melacha is when I put it on the fire. So that should have been mutter. It's not. That should have been mutter because that's only marbe bishurim because at the time that I put it on top of the fire, I'm only doing one shot. I'm only doing the melacha once. That's so the machzis hashekel on the bottom of the Magen Avraham explains that that's not allowed. Why not? That's not also because of marbe b'shiurim. That's also because of tircha. That's hachana. When she picks up one piece of chicken and puts it in, when she picks up the extra piece of chicken to put it into the pot, that's a hachana. That's mechem yantav l'chol. That's not an isur of malacha, but it's an isur of hachana. That's like setting up the tables for mitzvah yantav. That's like preparing something, making a sandwich or whatever. Not doing malacha. That's called. It should have been mutter mitam, marbe b'shiurim should be mutter because at the time that she puts it on the fire, there's only one ma'isa putting on the fire. That's one ma'isa melacha, and she's doing more than she needs. But the poskim say la'alacha that that's forbidden because of the tircha shalot asura, because of the hachonet, that the extra piece of chicken that she puts in into the pot before she puts it on the fire is an act of hachonet and mechem yantav l'chol.
I can see a difference between the water and the
ocean. So here, Tosis. Yeah.
Water is the same. One water, 10 pieces, 10 cups of water. One water is the same water, mamish. So mainly, you only got to drink one cup. The other one is for your what you want to. But the chicken, she doesn't know which part of the chicken she wants. She wants to cook up the chicken. Later, she'll make a decision. She wants the pulk or
she wants. She knows. She only eats the top. So she only eats the bottom.
She
never.
Why does
she
want?
Never. But then she does know. But that's what she does know, and it's still with her. She does know, and it's still with her.
Because
there's no kavanah there
against that.
Here
you bring
a
daska
for
the
guy. So
you know there's daska
piece
and also the
guy.
The other case, even though she knows she's not
going to
eat it.
She's doing it for chol. That's
she's
filling up the extra chicken she plans to eat for chol.
Oh, so
Taisa says, just like one is not permitted to cook on Yom Tov for chol. But if you cook a big thing on Yom Tov for Yom Tov and play half of it is for Yom Tov, half of it is for chol with mutter, so too one is not permitted to cook for the nachri, but if you're cooking one big unit and half is for the son, half is for the nachri, it should be exactly the same. So what are you telling me that you're not permitted to invite a nachri on Yom Tov? Gzeirah shem yarbe b'shvilo. I feel yarbe b'shvilo is muta legamri. What's the problem? Marbe b'shvilo is achmarbe b'shurim. Rav Hashem is muta lahatchila. What's the problem?
That's for one unit, but here you said if you take another piece of chicken, that's what Tosis answers.
Gzeirah shem yarbe b'shvilo b'kli acher. Then you put in a separate kli. Or in our language, we can say in the same kli, Gzeirah shem yarbe b'shvilo, she'll put in a separate piece. So that's what Tosis answers. The Miri gives a very sharp teretz, I think along the lines that you start to say. So the Miri has a mindful. What's the din if a person is away from the Yontif L'chol? He cooks on Yontif for after Yontif. So the Gemara says that it's Mamish and Malacha. Away from Yontif L'chol is Mamish not called Echol Nefesh at all. That's a real Easter. He did a Malacha, that's not Echol Nefesh. What if a person cooks for a Nochri? Away from Yontif L'chol should get Malchus. The Gemara says Svarim Psochem, maybe there's no Malchus for different reasons. But Alpi Pasha, so from the end of the chol is loike. Alpi Pasha should be loike because mamish no heter echol nefesh, and he mamish violated the isamalacha. What if a person cooks food on behalf of an achri, but an achri is going to eat it today? Then maybe it is called echol nefesh. So that's a big shaila in Tosfos, and the Prima Godim has a shaila din halacha ma'aseh. What's the din? If a person cooks on behalf of an achri, do I say and an achri is going to eat it today, or I carry the food to the zoo to feed the animals? The behem is going to eat it today, or the goy is going to eat it today. But the pasuk says lachem v'lo liyakum lachem v'lo liklov. The Tosfos calls this topic. Tosfos calls this theme a hadre liyisura kama. It means like this: we start off with an iser. You're not permitted to do a malach on Yom Tov. Then the Torah gives you a heter to the iser. If it's echol nefesh, that's an exception to the rule. Then the Torah gives you a footnote to the exception to the rule. Lachem v'lo liyakum lachem v'lo liklov. Basically, if you're cooking or carrying for the nochri or for the behem, it's also vayter echol nefesh. But the Chumash says, "Lachem lo leakum, lachem lo leklovim." That this is an exception to the rule. So do you say ahadre v'yisure kame, that the exception to the exception to the rule goes back to the original rule? The rule is that you're not allowed to do malach. And if it's a chalav, then it's muta. But if it's lachem l'aliyakim, lachem l'aliklovim, then it goes back and it's vayta called anisa malacha. And he say no. The isa malacha was lifted once you got to your second stage. It's for nefesh purposes, but if a behema, for an odom, for an akum, it doesn't matter. If somebody, some balchai is going to eat it on yontif, so it's already mutter mitam isa malacha. Then there's a new isa rasei, lachem l'aliyakim, lachem l'aliklovim, is an isa rasei, but it's not an isa lav. It's not that it reverts back to its original state of isa lav of loisach kom malacha loyasa lachem. So that's the deal in Mishnah. Machlok is Tosis in the Rambam. Tosis says Mufurish that you don't apply here a hadra l'yisura kama, that you have only violated an isa rasei of lachem l'aliyakum lachem l'aliklovim, and it's not a violation of malacha. If you're eifel yontif l'choil, it's mamish not called eichel nefesh. You're not going to eat it today on yontif. It's mamish not eichel nefesh. But if you cook food today that's going to be eaten today by a nachri or by a behemah, that is called eichel nefesh, except that it's an isa rasei of lachem l'aliyakum. And the Lechem Mishnah points out that there's a mefurish haramim in Hilchas Yontif where the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam says that you do apply a hadra isur kam, that if you cook for a nochri, you cook for a behemah, it reverts back to the original issue. So the Niri, in the end of Beitza, has this Iluyin Shain from Niri writes that when do you say that if I'm cooking a pot full of water, a pot full of one whole chicken, or one whole roast, one whole piece of meat, even though I only need a tiny shtikala for Yontif, and the rest is clearly my intention is 100% for chol. So the Gemara says that it's muta lagamre, has the gomer to be marbe b'shurim, muta manater, it's muta b'rabonah to be marbe b'shurim. When is that? So the Miri says that's only because the part that I'm cooking for yontif is eichel nefesh. The part that I'm cooking for chol is mamish not eichel nefesh. There's no heter eichel nefesh at all. If I would only cook the whole thing for chol, that would mamish be an isa malacha. Eichel yontif l'chol is mamish an isa malacha. But since it's all one big unit, it's one maisa malacha, and I have a heter eichel nefesh, I'm part of it, so the whole thing is mutter. The heter eichel nefesh is chal on the whole business that I did. It's one maisa malacha, and the heter is chal on everything that I do. But if I'm cooking on behalf of an akum, on Yom Tov, let's say all I'm cooking is for the nochri, so it is eichel nefesh anyway.
Yeah, but it's
an isra say that you're not allowed to, despite the fact that it's eichel nefesh, you're still not allowed to. It's not that it's not called eichel nefesh, that it's only called eichel nefesh if eichel nefesh shall Yisrael. Eichel nefesh shall akum, eichel nefesh shall klavim is no good. No! Eichel nefesh from klavim and akum, Taisus says, is also called eichel nefesh. And that's enough to remove the lav of loisas and kol malacha. And you're only remaining with an isra say means that despite the fact that it's eichel nefesh, it's an isra say that it's forbidden. So the Miri says, so what will you accomplish if I'm going to cook a whole kettle full of water? And part of it is going to be, I'm going to drink. And the other half of the kettle I'm going to give to all the nochrim. So what are you going to say? That since part of it is eichel nefesh, so everything is labeled as eichel nefesh, even if everything would have been for the goy, would have also been eichel nefesh. And it's still also. And it's still an eichel nefesh. So what does it help if I label it? I label it with a twist that it's called eichel nefesh. Since this half is eichel nefesh, it spreads. The other half is also, without spreading, it's also labeled as eichel nefesh. Because to cook from nochri or for kelev, you don't say a had with Yisra Kamah, it's always eichel nefesh anyway. And it's still also, despite the fact that it's eichel nefesh, that's exactly the Yisra say. So the Miri says, you don't have to come on to what Taisa says, Zeresh and Yarbe Bishvila Bekli Acher. Maybe he'll do it in such a way that you don't have the heter of Marbe Bishurim. Even if it's a knife of Marbe Bishurim, it's also an Yisra. It's the Yisra say of Lachem Ala Yakum, Lachem Ala Klom. That's the Miri's idea. But whatever the time is, that's what the Gemara says, that it's not permissible. That you're not permitted to invite a Nochri, or according to the Mishnah Brura, it is Chumra, you're not permitted to invite a Yisrael who's Dina Amumra, who's Dina Ka'akum, on Yonta because of this Zeresh Amiyabi Bishrila, and even if there's a problem of Eva, unless you have Goyish people in the kitchen taking care of all the food.
Why
that's not a Zeresh Amiyabi Bishrila. You're not permitted to invite a Nochri. Zeresh and the Abba Bishvila B'Kliyachir. Yeah. I'm afraid that I may do that. If I'll do that, that's no problem. But if I'll do that, if I'll do a different thing, that'll be a problem.
In other words, somebody's cooking chicken, and he knows that he's giving him chicken to his dog,
he's
ever
used. Yep. That's what he said. He says that's the literal translation of Yarbe Bishvila means Marbe Bishurim, which is normally mutter. If your intention is for choyl, it's mutter. because chayil is not called eichel nefesh. If it's marbe b'shurim, it's all called eichel nefesh. But if it's on behalf of a klavim or on behalf of an akum, it's also mitam yisareset, despite the fact that it's eichel nefesh. That's what he said. The stomach, you don't cook for the club.
When
you know half of the meat is going from Yeah.
That thing Mara says is
Mutta, yeah.
No,
that's what the Gemara says, it's impossible. Right, that's what the Gemara makes.
If you have the same Pesach, it's for the Chol Shabbos. Every place is Shabbos.
Yeah.
You have to come here. You have your abortion to eat. You have your
abortion to eat. Who are never trying to eat? Yeah, that you're allowed to. You're permitted to do malacha for him. He's a Yisrael Gomer. You're permitted to do malacha for him. If he eats in the Karm Pesach, he's a Yisrael Gomer. The Mishnah. Yeah. That's the machlokes of Rishonim, where the nefesh only means a Yisrael, and nefesh means any balkai, any human, any animal. That's the machlokes. What about klavim, right? So the Tosis has one day, even if you cook for a kelev or for an akum, it is called eichel nefesh. It's just that it's an isereser, lachem. But it is called eichel nefesh, it is called eichel nefesh. That's what Tosis says. Here you don't say hadr l'isurakam, because it is called eichel nefesh. And the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam says no. But if you cook for an akum or for a kelev, it's not called eichel nefesh in the first place. Why the pasuk uses the phrase nefesh? Samod naloshim. What the nefesh eats? The nefesh is tachap staruchim is the gezar.
Something which the nefesh remains. The nefesh remains after misa or something.
The whole. I don't know. The yireim. Rav Lezer Mimitzin say the yireim is medayik on naloshim. Why it says eichal nefesh? The food is not eaten by the nefesh. It's eaten by the nefesh habahamis. Okay, but usually when we speak of nefesh, we usually speak of nefesh means something ruchni is it. So the Yireim says that this is the marker of the Mishnah of Bisilil and Beisham. It is a machlekes hatanaim in the first perek in Beitzer that Bisilil say one is permitted on Yontov, even though malacha is not allowed on Yontov just like on Shabbos. However, Bisilil allow a person to carry a lulav to shul, or to carry a sefer to lein, or to carry a baby in order to do a bris milah. This is a milah bisman on Yontov. So he's permitted to carry the baby. Why? And Bishamai says it's forbidden. He's not permitted. Eimatzim is alulav es atirik es sefer Torah. So what's machlokes Bishamai Bisil? Offhand Bishamai is right. No, it's not eichel nefesh. You're not going to eat the baby. You're not going to eat the lulav. You're not going to eat the sefer Torah. You're not going to eat these things. So what's the heter? And you're not permitted to do. The first thing Gemara suggests that the machlokes Bishamai Bisil is that Bisil hold erev ha'itzua l'Shabbos vein erev ha'itzua l'Yontif. That's from all the 39 malachas that are forbidden on Shabbos. We carry over to Yom Tov only 38 out of the 39. And Hoytzoah is a malacha grua. Tosfos says in several places, so they repeat again on this daf, Hoytzoah is a malacha grua. And daf you base them in Aleph and Beit. So therefore, the pasuk tells us in Yeshaya, Lo tzil masa mi batechem b'yoyim ha-Shabbos, the Shabbos and the Yom Tov Lord. That the Yisr Hoytzoah, which is only a malacha grua, does not carry over to Yom Tov. Only the 38, the Kippur, that's what all the Balabatim hold. Everybody carries a mazor into shul, a talis and a masa to shul on Yom Kippur, without the Eruv. So the Gemara says, Rashi, perhaps passes like Rafam. And Tosfos is masig on all the Balabatim follow Rashi, a lot of carry on Yom Kippur. The other Dumalosis, except for carrying his mutter. Then Tosfos says, but the Gemara says it's Ogifrek. The Gemara increases, and the Gemara Yuma says that Hoder Rafram Badusahi, that we don't pass like Rafram. That you're not allowed to carry on Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to carry on Yom Tov, just like you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos, despite the fact that Haitzor is a malacha grua, and it's really different from the other 38 malachas, but still, every single malacha, all 39 that are rosser on Shabbos, are rosser on Yom Tov, and are rosser on Yom Kippur as well. So my time at the Beis Hillel, so the Gemara is, why did Beis Hillel say you're permitted to carry the lulav, you're permitted to carry the baby for the bris milah, you're permitted to carry the sefer Torah to lein? So the Gemara says, that's called mitach shuch, for the Torah, chutna mishalol letzor. That's Bisil Shita. Bishami say there is no such thing. It's only Mutta for Echam Nefesh Ma'amish. And Bisil say any one of the 39 Malachas which has a Heta for Echam Nefesh, let's say Alpi Pashas, let's say to 10 to treat leather, to make it, to treat the hide, to make it into leather, ma'abe, is never mutter for echal nefesh purposes. So you won't say it's mutter the tzarech hayom tzas. Let's say, Echreis, I need a sefer Torah today to lay, I need a mezuzah, Echreis, I need a mezuzah. So you say, tzarech hayom tzas, I'm allowed to write a mezuzah on yom, tzarech hayom tzas, he wants a mezuzah, he has to fulfill a mitzvah, he's allowed to treat the leather. So the answer is no, ksiva is never mutter for echal nefesh. And treating the leather is never mutter for echal nefesh. The only time you allow a malacha for tzarech hayom tzas is if that malacha, you don't say that yom tzas is mutter for echal nefesh. So all the malachas of yom tzas are mutter for tzarech hayom tzas. You have to judge each and every malacha individually. If you have a malacha where the malacha has a heter for echal nefesh, if you can figure out a hechetimtze, we're allowed to do the malacha for echal nefesh, then you're allowed to do that malacha for tzarech hayom tzas. That's why Tosis has a famous kasha in Shabbos on that side of K. That let's say the fellow wants to build himself a house on Yom Tov. He should be allowed to build a house on Yom Tov Tzorech HaYom Tzas. Why? Because Boine is sometimes Mutter for Echal Nefesh. Where do you have Boine for Echal Nefesh? Where did a person ever build anything on Yom Tov that's Mutter for Echal Nefesh? Echal Nefesh has to do with food. Oh, so Tosis quotes a Gemara that when you make cheese, Hamagabe, when you make cheese, my mother used to make cheese. When we lived in Pennsylvania, they didn't have any Venus Yisrael. Just make their own cheese. So you let the milk sit for a long time, and then the particles of the cheese flow to the top, and then you have to separate the particles and put them together and squeeze out all the liquid. So the Gemara says that that's called boina. So Tosis says, what about making cheese on Yom Tov? So the Gemara in the end of Shabbos says, you're not allowed to make cheese on Yom Tov. The Gemara says, why not? Make cheese, the Gemara says, no. Cheese that would have been made a day or two before Yom Tov would have tasted better on Yom Tov than if you just make it today. Still soggy today. If you would have made it before Yom Tov, then it would have tasted better. So the pashtus in the Gemara is that that's only an isa de rabbanon. If it would have tasted better, this chilek between efshalasas and mod yom, and the efshalasas and mod yom, the Gemara never has min ha-Torah regarding echal nefesh mamsh. The Gemara only has that regarding machshirei echal nefesh. Let's say you have a broken fork or a broken knife or something. So there's a machlokes ha-tanai, whether you're permitted to fix the knife on Yom Tov. So even the Tana Rav Yehuda, who says that machshirei echal nefesh are also mutar on Yom Tov, if you're permitted to fix the broken fork on Yom Tov, that's only if the fork broke on Yom Tov. But if it broke on Erev Yom Tov, and it was efshalasis mevod yom, then we have a pasuk that then it's an isa deraisa to fix it on Yom Tov. So Tosis points out, Tosis in the Rosh, and all the Rishonim point out that this distinction between efshalasis mevod yom and the efshalasis mevod yom only applies min ha-Torah regarding machshirei echal nefesh. To fix the broken knife or to fix the broken fork or something like that. But to cook the food mamish, so there it certainly doesn't apply min ha-Torah. There min ha-Torah, one is permitted to cook food or bake, let's say, challahs or matzahs on Yom Tov, even if it's efshalasis in bod yom, it should be mutter min ha-Torah. Midirabbanan, the Rambam says it's not allowed though. The Rambam says in Shulchan Aruch, he quotes Rashi Shita. Midirabbanan, one is not permitted to do any cooking on Yom Tov. If he could have done it in bod yom, it would have tasted just as good. If, let's say, people can tell a difference between a chicken that was just cooked freshly on Yom Tov as opposed to something that was cooked before Yom Tov and taken out of the freezer on Yom Tov and reheated, so if you can tell a difference and you enjoy it better if it's freshly cooked, then you're permitted to cook it on Yom Tov, because that's EF Shalasis Mod Yom. If you would have made it before Yom Tov, you would have cooked it before Yom Tov, it would not have been as tasty as if you cook it now on Yom Tov. But if, let's say, that people are not so makbid, they can't really taste the difference between something that was just cooked now as opposed to something that was cooked before Yom Tov. It doesn't make any difference to them. So then the Rambam says that it's awesome with the Rabbanon to cook the food or to do the malacha on Yom Tov that you could have done on Erev Yom Tov. That's how the Rambam says l'alocha. L'mashal, let's say, to do anything, the Rambam would say it's forbidden to do anything on Yom Tov that you could have done before Yom Tov. Let's say, to carry the machzeh to shul, or to carry the talis to shul. So you could have kept, what do you do on Shabbos? You don't carry it to shul on Shabbos? You don't have an Erev. He carried before Shabbos. On Yom Tov, he could have just as well carried it before. You were in a rush. So you're lazy. Like you should have carried it in the Bod Yom. So if you didn't carry it in the Bod Yom, the Rambam would say that it's also to carry it on Yom Tov. The Rambam says it about Eichel Nefesh Mamish. On Eichel Nefesh Mamish, about preparing food. If you could have prepared the food in the Bod Yom and it would have tasted just as good, so the Rambam says you're not permitted to do it on Yom Tov, even if you forgot the last Ayyadei Shinui. That's what he passes like Rashi. You have to do it on Yom Tov. So the same should apply regarding, let's say, carrying a machzeh to shul, carrying a talis to shul. If you could have carried it mibod yom, if you're afraid the machzeh is going to disappear in shul, it's a yefshel. If you're afraid that someone's going to take your talis, so it's a yefshel as mibod yom. So you can't. But if you have a lakkar, it's a little minion, you're not afraid that it's going to disappear, so is mamish efshalasis mod yom, so then it would be forbidden to do it on Yom Tov, unless I say shinui. How are you going to carry out the shinui? Carrying your left hand is not called a shinui. You have to carry on your head. Okay. If you write with your left hand, a person who's a writer and he writes with his left hand, that's called aide shinui. But carrying, the Mishnah says, hamoitzi ben bimina ben mismoda, is the same halacha, that's not called kalahaya. So you have a problem what to do.
The Yisro preparing from Yom Tov Rishon to Yom Tov Sheni, right? The Siddurim, all these spoons.
Right.
What happens if it's something which can be used for later? But it takes 3-4 hours to prepare it. They should ask him or not.
I mean, what if it's the Yevit? What if it's the Yevit, a person went ahead and cooked on the first day for the second?
3-4 hours. On the other day, I allowed to eat it the second night.
That's a big deal in the Paschim, a big shalal al halacha.
The first day is the rice and the second day is the rabbanah.
Right, that's oif from Yantav Lecha. That's min haTorah, what he did was, he was oif from Yantav Lecha. So that's a machlekes nigmar, what oif from Yantav Lecha has violated an isa deraisa and isa derabbanah. Pashtus is that it's an isa deraisa. And Rabba comes up in a ninefold of hoyl. Called the mikulach mechazle hashtam mechazle. So it depends, you don't always have hoyl. But if the woman... If it didn't finish yet on the first day, then there's not even a heter of hoyl. Then for sure he violated the yeast. Then for sure it's us. Then for sure it's us. I think we say that it is us. The only time it would be a shiloh was if he cooked it early, right? If he cooked it early on the first day Yom Tov. And he doesn't plan to eat this food on the first day Yom Tov, but rather to eat it on the second day Yom Tov. And he's not allowed to do that. Not allowed to cook early. He cooks at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on the first day Yom Tov. And it's already finished cooking at 4 o'clock or whatever, 5 o'clock, and then if they want they can sit down and eat, but they're not hungry then. They're going to eat it later, 7 o'clock. So then you have a machlokes, that's a shail in din, whether you can rely by the yevet. So he clearly violated Nisa de Rabbonan. The shail is whether we consider him by the yevet that it should be asked of the Shias. That's a deal in Poskim. In the Shulchan Aruch, I think they quoted Shuva Saraj that it's mutter. And Mishkan Asyankiv has a whole Shuva, he doesn't like that heta. He thinks that he should ask him.
If you're allowed to cook or bake on the first day more than you need and left over for the second
It depends how you cook or you bake. It has to be only in one unit. Let's say if you have to need more, if it would have been a smaller amount you would need less, and now you have to need more, so then it's marba b'malocha, you're doing more lisha. You're doing more lisha mamish.
You make a whole chicken instead of half a chicken, you can do it.
Yeah,
right.
If there's it's just one.
If it's only marba b'shurim and there's no extra malacha and there's no extra tirche and there's no extra hachone, then it's heter gomer. But if there's an extra malacha, an extra act of malacha, an extra act of pula, an extra hachone, then it's awesome. Then it would really be awesome.
When does Hoyle
help? Hoyle is a machlokes rabbi and Rav Chisda whether it helps ben haTorah now. If a person cooked food on Yom Tov, which theoretically he could have eaten on Yom Tov, but he definitely does not plan to eat it on Yom Tov. But there are Jews around who could have eaten it up on Yom Tov. Let's say a guy cooks a whole cow. He's cooking for a chasana. He cooked so much food and he lives off. There's no one in town today. There are no Jews in town. The closest Jew lives mechutz l'tchum. They can't come on Yom Tov. So then Hoyle is not going to help. I can't eat the whole cow on Yom Tov. It's impossible. I'll get sick. So then you don't say Hoyle. But if he cooks, let's say he lives in Queens and he cooks a whole cow for preparing for a wedding that's going to be another month. He's going to freeze it. And there are enough Jews in Queens who if I will invite them all in, they could eat up the whole cow today on Yom Tov, but I don't plan to give it to them. So that's a machlekes rabbi v'rav chizda. The rabbi sheet is that min haTorah it's mutter, because it sets itself out as echol nefesh. Whatever could have been eaten by Jews on Yom Tov is called automatically echol nefesh min haTorah, and it's only awesome the rabbanon to do that. And Rav Chizda disagrees and says there is no such thing as hoyl. It's only called echol nefesh if your intention at the time that you did the malacha was that you want to eat it on Yom Tov. But if you planned the feirish away from Yom Tov l'chol, then Rav Chizda holds that is an isa deraisa. So we paskin. It's a shaila how we paskin. The Magen Avraham quotes the machlekes and Mishnah whether we paskin like Rav or we paskin like Rav Chizda. It doesn't make too much difference because it's aser anyway. It's either aser min haTorah or aser min haRabbanon. But where it is relevant is the following case. Let's say the woman. If you think then it's mutter to do it. Yeah, then it's mamish, have the gomer to cook. No, then you're allowed to cook. And even if it'll turn out later that they didn't eat everything up, then what that was called, sarachayot, that was called echol nefesh, because you thought, let's say you cooked food, and you cooked chicken just in case someone will want an extra portion. So that's mutter, even if it turns out like the stuff that you didn't eat everything up, but you are allowed to cook as much as as much as you think that you made. Right? That's how the Rambam points out. That you don't have to jalav, you don't have to be mitzamtzem. You're permitted to cook as much as you think that you may possibly eat on Yom Tov. But let's say to cook what you definitely will not eat on Yom Tov, that's also either rasim atera or rasim adarabon, but that's not allowed. Where we do apply hoil is the following case. Let's say the woman leaves her food in the freezer and then she takes it out on Yom Tov to reheat. And then she forgot, she left it in the freezer, and then comes the first day Yom Tov and she's going to need it tonight. So the din is, you're not permitted to do any hachonas on the first day for the second day. Not only are you not permitted to do any malachas on the first day to the second day, let's say to cook or to ben shlicht or to carry anything on the first day for the second day, you're not even permitted to do a hachona, just to set the table or to clean the floor or to take the food out of the freezer. The women a lot of times forget. So what does she do? Let's say all of the food is in the freezer, she forgot. So what does she do on the first day, Yom Tov? So the Chayei Yodam discusses such a similar case. He discusses that he didn't have a freezer. He discusses a similar case. Let's say the fellow has all of his wine in a special basement, and by Yom he can go and get, and today for Yom Tov he already had enough. He finished eating ready 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and that's it. He doesn't need any more wine on Yom Tov, but he's going to need wine tonight, and Achatuch, he doesn't have any wine in the house, so he has to go to the wine cellar, whatever section of the house where it's very dark and Echveis, it's dangerous or whatever, and he won't be able to go there. He won't be able to go there tonight. It's impossible to go tonight. He has to go Dafke today. But today's the first day Yom Tov. So if he's going to go today for tonight, there's a hachonet. If it's a situation when there's no malach involved, if it's a malach, it's a rafan. You're not allowed to do a malach on the first day for the second day. But if it's an ether of hachonet alone, so then the Chayyotim says, if you realize early enough in the afternoon on the first day Yom Tov that you have a problem, he recommends you should go quickly and take the wine and bring it to your home in such a way that you would have had a heter of hoyle. That if you would have wanted to drink some wine on the rest of the first day, let's say you're going to go on your way to go daven mincha on the first day Yom Tov, you're already leaving the house, then you remind yourself that the wine is in a difficult spot, then you're going to go get the wine. No one's going to drink any wine there. Everybody's going to, it's the last minute, everyone's going to daven mincha. But if it's early in the day, and there is enough time now to drink the wine, so then you can rely. So then the Gemara says that b'shas atchak you're allowed to rely on hoyle chatchila. If hoyle is mutam anater, it's only asmud rabbanon. So then b'shas atchak we're allowed to rely on hoyle chatchila. So he says, "Dasa d'hashas atchak a mokam mitzvah. You want to have wine for kiddush tonight? Well, let's say you want to have flesh. You don't want to wait till 12 o'clock till it's going to thaw out till you'll be able to warm it up tonight. So if it's a mokam mitzvah and it's a tzara gadol and it's a shas atchak, then he says you should take it out of the freezer early in the afternoon. Lechatchila, you shouldn't leave it in the freezer, in order not to have to rely on the heter of hol. But if the dieved, the person forgot, and they left the food in the freezer, so the eitz is to take it out early enough in the day, so that if you would have wanted to cook it on the first day, you would have been able to cook it and eat it on the first day. So even though you're not interested in that, but you already have the heter of hoyl, so even though hoyl you're not allowed to use midirabbanan, and it's certainly also to use hoyl, but if it's a shas of chak and it's a godel, then they say that you're allowed to rely on hoyl. Aye, but it's a machloikis, whether we pass him from hoyl or not. So he says, no, b'negeya to hachone, you're allowed to rely on hoyl. B'negeya to malach anas, b'negeya to hachone, you're permitted to rely on hoyl.
Those are like chilled wine. You're not allowed to put it in the afternoon, you're not sufficiently under
change. Right.
And surely not water in the ice tray.
Right. People do that all the time. They don't think. You're not permitted to do hachones, even to do a hachone on the first day Yom Tov for the second day, let alone a malach.
Water you might use it.
If you think that you may honestly use it, then you're allowed to. But if you don't really think, if you're pretty sure you're not going to use it, just getting ready for the seder, so that's not really such a tzorach gadol that the chayyodim should be matir to rely on hoyl. He says, if you have a big tzorach mitzvah, tzorach gadol, then the Gemara says we rely on hoyl. He says, l'chara, that shouldn't be a tzorach gadol. You want to have kiddush on wine, that's a tzorach gadol. You want to have flesh, it should be edible, it shouldn't be frozen, that's a tzargol. But just to have ice cold water, that's not such a tzargol. So getting back to this Gemara again in Beitza, the Gemara quotes a machlek of Bishan and Bisilo, whether one is permitted to carry the tinoik, or one is permitted to take the baby in a stroller on Yom Tov, one is permitted to carry a sefer Torah, or one is permitted to carry a lulav. So Bishan is saying, you're not allowed to. Why did Bisilo say that it's mutah? So first, the Gemara tainez that hoitzo is mutah bichlal. Then the Gemara backs out hoitzo is not mutah on Yom Tov, we carry over all the 39 malachas. Not just the 38 malachas, no, malacha gruah stay. All the 39 malachas are carried over. So what's the heter for the carrying the baby. So the Gemara says that's Bisel Shita. That any particular malacha like Litzor. Sometimes you carry food in order to eat it. I want to go eating, I want to eat my food over there. So I carry the food in order to eat over there. But since Litzor and Bishal are sometimes Mutar Litzor, Chachal Nefesh, Mamish, Litzor, some Mutar Litzor, Chayom, Ktas. What do you mean, Tzor, Chayom, Ktas? So here the Yireim says Yireim is of the opinion like the Rabbeinu Hanan, Latesis quotes, and Beis Adav Yud Beis Menalot, that Tzor, Chayom, Ktas only means B'mok and Mitzvah. I'm carrying the baby to do a bris nila bizman on you. I'm carrying the lulav to shake the lulav for the nanuim. I'm carrying a sefer Torah in order to lay in Kriyas HaTorah, to learn. But if some I'm going to carry a book, to read a book by the river, some a book or something, or a chelam of stories or something, no maka mitzvah, some I'm taking the baby l'til b'yalmo, so then the Rabbeinu Hanan seems to hold that it's not allowed. Only, right, then Taisus dings up, right, we'll get to that. The Rabbeinu Hanan holds, that's the taste of time, is that if you want to take the baby for a stroll in the park, that's also a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah of Oynig Yontif. And the Rabbeinu Hanano holds, no, it has to be a mitzvah sayoim. Like a bris mila bizmana is a mitzvah sayoim. That's called tzara hayoim tzas. The tina kultayo, that's not a tzara hayoim. There's no halacha that says you have to go for a walk on Yontif. If it's raining, you're not going to go for a walk. You want to go for a walk. So even though it's a form of Oynig Yontif, but the Rabbeinu Hanano shita is that that's not called tzara hayoim tzas. Has to daf ketorah hayom of a mila bizmano or kriyas haTorah. You have to learn kriyas haTorah, or the mitzvah of lulav. You have to shake the lulav for the nanu. A mitzvah sayam, right? So what is the mocker of shitas beisilo? Where is this learned out from in the chumash? Where does it say that a tzarach mitzvah sayam is mutter? So the sefer Yireim explains that that's from the word nefesh. That why does it say in the chumash achas sheyachol kol nefesh? What about the yosulachem? The nefesh usually means the ruchnistic part of the person. The ruchni's bigger part doesn't eat any food, so it doesn't fit in. Yeyachol achol nefesh. So he says no. Yeyachol means oichal achila, and nefesh means tzorach mitzvah sayyim. That's the shita sayyireim and the Rabbeinu Hanano, that it's only mutter for a tzorach mitzvah sayyim. That seems to be. Nefesh means a tzorach of the nefesh. Tzorach of the nefesh means it's not mitzvah. I mean, how do you know that the tafka mitzvah sayom, that the mitzvah oinig yontif not? I don't know. That's what the Rach holds like that. And Tosis wants to expand it, even if it's not a mitzvah sayom. Let's say it's a tina klutayel is also a tzorach mitzvah. Any tzorach. Right, we'll get to the smoke. We'll get to the smoke. So the. The way we paskin like Tosis, according to Rashi, according to Rabbeinu Hanano, that it's only mutter if it's a mitzvah sayoyim. I don't know. It's a mitzvah to learn all the time. Mitzvah to learn all the time, but I don't know if you can call that a mitzvah sayoyim. Unless you're learning Hilchas Yontif. If you're learning Hilchas Yontif, but let's say a fellow's chazing for his Yerodei B'china. That's a mitzvah to learn the Torah, but that's not nothing to Yuchat. Maybe, okay. I'll be meaning, maybe it isn't so young. I don't know. Yeah, that's what Taisa says about Tina Klatayel. Taisa says you want to go for a walk, so that's also cool. Right, that's also cool. And the Rabbeinu Hanano holds no, that's not good enough. It has to be Dafke. I don't know, could be.
The learning also
you can learn at home. I don't know, maybe. It's a good shot. Rashi Shita is Tesis in Ksuvah Zavdal points out that Rashi Shita Mstochim is that it's only mutter. They're like the Rabbeinu Hanano in the Sefer Yireim, that it's only mutter to do maloche only for mitzvah sayim, and only for mitzvah sayim is a mitzvah deraisa. The mitzvah derabbanan you're not allowed. Let's say to carry a machzor to shul according to Rashi would not be allowed on you. Because what do you need the machzor for? To say Krishna, you can daven from a regular city. You need the machzor to say the piyutim. To daven the Shemana Esrei also, the Yontav Digger Shemana Esrei, the Hallel. Everything is found in the city. The only thing you need the machzor for is for the piyutim, for the Yitzrus. So that's not even a dinder rabbanan. That's only a minik. So according to Rashi, this wouldn't be allowed. Why? Because Rashi says on the Gemara Mstochim, the Gemara says Mstochim in the first parak, that if you find chametz in your home on Yontav, cut all of kli, you invert the pot on it to make sure that nobody will eat it by mistake, and then it says that if the yontif is over, after Abdullah, then you burn it. So Tosis asks a kasha Rashi on Psochim in the first parak, and Tosis thinks it's a bother with a kasha. Why not be allowed to burn it on yontif? Tzarech Hayom Ktsas, even though it's not a Tzarech Hayom Nefesh, and it's a Malach of Havar, you're going to burn the Chametz, but it's a Tzarech Hayom Ktsas, you can't do mitzvah Tashbisu. So you want to fulfill a mitzvah. So Rashi answers that kasha, Rashi Amsachim answers that kasha by saying that Hacham Amayas Kino, that the fellow was Mevatel his Chametz already. So Menatera Bebitel Bial Nasagi. Once he's Mevatel the Chametz, there's no problem by Rabbi Moses. But it's still a mitzvah of the Rabbanon not to rely on the Bittel to destroy it mamish. So even though he has a Choyva with the Rabbanon to destroy his Chametz, he's not permitted to do a Malacha the Reis of Havare to fulfill a mitzvah the Rabbanon. Because Rashi Shita is that Tzarech Hayom Ktsas, the Tosfos asks and Ksuvah is why, so they say that Rashi Shita apparently is that it's only mutter to do a Malacha the Tzarech Mitzvah Sayyim the Reis. To do a mitzvah the Rabbanon is not. And if it's a glata Tzarech Hayom Ktsas, some the guy wants to wipe his nose. He wants to carry a handkerchief to wipe his nose in shul. Achor, it's not a mitzvah deraiz, it's not a mitzvah derabbanan. So that he wouldn't be allowed to bichlaf. He's only allowed to carry things. Mamish, let's say, he wants to carry the keys to his apartment. So what is he afraid of? What does he need the keys to his apartment? He's afraid they're going to steal the what? They're going to steal his chicken. They're going to steal his cholent, his kugel. They're going to steal his silver. He's not using this. They're going to steal his money. He'll leave his home open? Let's say he'll leave the door open. So that's the shayla. That's the shayla. What do you do on Shabbos? On Shabbos you don't carry the keys. On Shabbos you don't carry the keys. So the shayla said, what's on Yom Tov? Why are you allowed to carry the keys? According to Rashi, there's no heter. You're only allowed to carry things according to Rashi and according to this Rabbeinu Hanan. The tzorach mitzvah sayon deraisa. It's a mitzvah deraisa to do it. What is he carrying the keys? If he wants to carry the key to get to the other house where there's a door that's locked that has food inside, that's Alechal Nefesh Mamish. He's carrying the key in order to get the food. But if the food is in my house, I don't have to carry the key to get there. I'm leaving my house and I'm locking the door. We're all going to shul. Then when I come home, I want to get back into the house in order to get the food. So who tells you to lock the door and carry the key? Leave the door open. Either they're going to steal, they're not going to steal the food. You're carrying the key, it's not in order to secure your food. It's in order to secure the other things that you don't really need today for young
people.
So that's a shayla. So that's a shayla. So according to Rashi, it's probably not at all. Right, so according to Rabbeinu Hananel, there's no heter. Right, but the zach is that we don't pass like the Rabbeinu Hananel. We pass like Tosfos, that Tzorach Hayom Ktsas is mutter, not only if it's a Tzorach mitzvah deraisa, even if it's a mitzvah with the Rabbanon, even if it's glatta Tzorach, other Tzorach are also mutter. That's how it says in Shulchan Aruch. The Shagasari doesn't like that heter. Shagasari says, Machlokes is Rashi and Tosfos and Adin deraisa, you should be machmal like Rashi. And that's why the Shagasari says that, let's say, on Rosh Hashanah, the Baal Tekeh wants to carry a shofar in order to blow shofar for a woman. Or the husband wants to carry home his lulav in order that his wife should bench esrig. Wants to carry home the lulav nesig that the wife should bench esrig. So the wife is not mechuyev to bench esrig, not minatara, not midirabban, and taminik. That the women like to bench esrig. They want to volunteer to do the mitzvah. But there's not a chiyuv derais, not a chiyuv derabban. So the Shagasari says that you're not permitted to carry a lulav or a shofar on behalf of a woman, according to Rashi. He says we should be machma like Rashi. And then he later posed Matina, what do you mean machman like Rashi? Who holds like Rashi and I myself? He says the time of the minute goyim is not. So the Ramah says, it's mutter, the Ramah quotes the Tosfos and Beit, so that it's mutter to play ball in the streets on Yom Tov. Why? It's not a mitzvah deraisa, it's not a mitzvah derabbanan. It's Tzorach Hayom Ktsas. They want to enjoy themselves. They want to play ball. On Shabbos you're not allowed because it's Hitzor. But on Yom Tov, when the Tzorach Hayom Ktsas is mutter, even though it's not a mitzvah deraisa, it's not a mitzvah derabbanan, the Ramah paskins that it's mutter. But still, the poskim have the unim, the rush, even though the rush and beit sound off your base taka poskim, like Tosfos, that one is permitted to carry on Yom Tov, Tzorach Hayom Ktsas not only means a mitzvah deraisa and a mitzvah derabbanan, any Tzorach Hayom Ktsas is mutter, but still, the rush has a whole deal about the keys, the Mishnah Berurah quote, not so passionate about carrying the keys to shul on Yom Tov. What does he need the keys for? He's afraid that they're going to steal, they're going to rob his apartment. Huh? But what do they do on Shabbos? Whatever you do on Shabbos, you should do on Yom Tov. If you have an Eitzah that works on Shabbos, you should use rather than carry the keys. If you have a Shabbos belt, or you have whatever other Eitzah you use on Shabbos, you should use the same Eitzah on Yom Tov. A type in, whatever you do on Shabbos is better to do on Yom Tov. The heter for the keys is a difficult heter. Mishnah Berurah quotes the whole thing from the Rosh. So Shavera heter, here's the Mishnah Berurah, is in Siman Tov Kuf, if you don't believe me. It's really a Rosh, and after you base and beitzah. And here the Mishnah Berurah has it in Hilchas Yom Tov, Siman Tov Kuf Yud Ches, and the Mishnah Berurah says Kut Nevav. It costs the whole arichas about the keys. It's not so glad. So shver it's a.
If you have an
Erev, then fine. Unless the person wants to be machmer, I'll be this chassidus to be machmer for the ritual. But the ritual has a chumah. We don't pass like the ritual.
Look, the person wants.
Okay. No, he can give. Still gives the chareitzer. You still have a Shabbos kid. Still have a Shabbos kid. But if you have no Erev, if you have no Erev, and you have a problem with what's so.
If you have no Erev, you have a Shabbos ki atari, but you come to the house, and right near the house, you have to take it off and put it in the door of the key, and you don't have a ganik or wazir. What is the.
You have to put it back on? So before you carry it into the house, you have to put it back in.
You put it back on, you cannot go.
Right?
You cannot leave it in the door. You have to take it in.
Your house key and your car together.
Strictly speaking, as far as Hilchas Haitzah is concerned, you're permitted to. Because that's even less than Marv Bishur. Your Sameach has a Chiddush. In the Sefer, Moshe is mechaven also to this Kiddush, and his truth is that this is even less than Marv Bishur. Why? Because the Gemara has a klal in Shabbos that you have a klal of Eged Kli. If a person carries a pot full of food, a pot full of anything, so it's the same Yisur Hoitzah, whether there's one thing, whether there's one bebel in the pot, or there are 1,000 bebelach in the pot. It's all mamish. So there it's not. It's not even called a marbe b'shuri. It's even less than marbe b'shuri. I declare anything that's inside the kli is considered one big unit, and it's mamish the same halacha of haitzah. So since all of the keys are taka on one chain, so mistama that's one kli. So the one kli is mitzar of everything to be considered one heft of haitzah. So strictly speaking, mitam hilchas haitzah, if he has to carry the key, if he has a heft that he's allowed to carry the key, and the key to the house is connected with all the other keys from the car and so on, so mitam hilchas haitzah, it's okay. The only thing is. It's often much more uncomfortable, and it may be muktzah also. If it's a kaki, it may be muktzah as well. And it's also a tirche. If you have a whole big keychain, it's much more uncomfortable than carrying one single key to the house, or carrying two keys.
It's a question of muktzah on the Zumbah, because if you have a zubah heter,
but that's only if it's one thing.
Why not?
Each key is an individual thing. Problem, it's yeah. Not like one thing is everyone.
No. The Poskim, the contemporary Rabbanim, do point out in their Svarim, their Chiburim, that the proper thing is to separate the keys. So that on Yontif, a person that carries keys should not carry all the keys. Should leave all the keys home and only carry the one that's necessary.
Mailbox key, same thing?
Yeah. Yeah. Pashta says you shouldn't carry that either.
I have to take the mail off. Just carry the key around with.
Yeah, whatever is unnecessary is not right to carry. You should only carry the bare minimum that you have to on you. Whatever is unnecessary.
I may not forget the raincoat in the car. So make an empty key and have it in the door of the hall from the raincoat and shutters.
You can't take the light on the
side. No. He took a light.
The light doesn't go.
He took a light.
Yeah. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in his sefer that it's muta. He says that it's he considers the key and the car, he doesn't consider it muta. He considers it a klisha malachta liyisa. Klisha malachta liyisa means like a pen or a pencil or a hammer or a screwdriver. It is a kli, it's not muta. It is what he claims. It's not muta, but it's a klisha malachta liyisa. So the din is that a klisha malachta liyisa, one is permitted to be metatal to handle if you need it with tzara gufa. Let's say I have a nut and I have to crack it, so I'm permitted to take a hammer. Either hammer is the chaklisha malachta liyisur, so it's permitted to use the hammer with tzara gufa for hishtamshus. But she says that one is permitted to open up to use the key is a kli, and the door is the door to the car, and the car is a kli. So he says it's permissible to open up the door and so on. That's called the tzorach gufa l'tzorach mekayma. He has to get in order to get his raincoat. Then after he opens it up, though, then how does he close it? The closing is ready, not l'tzorach gufa, not l'tzorach mekayma. What's the heter there? So then the only way to be matzah to close it is to do it. Right. Tilfel muktzah, tilfel klisha malach talis is only usher. If you use your hands, if you use your body, so So the classical poskim say that it's mutar. The Chazanish disagrees, but that's what all of the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Magen Avraham, from the Rosh, from all the regular standard poskim. They say that tofu muktzah and tofu kelim is only also if you use your hands. If you use the elbows,
what if you forgot?
Then the shot is, let's say, locking the door. How are you gonna lock the door if the
if they can open, push the button directly in the door. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Push the button. Okay.
Yeah. What if you forgot to refrigerate? You have your food in for Shabbos. You forgot to take your light out. So remind yourself that there's a light. If you're gonna open the door, there's light, and you can't get your food for Shabbos.
The best aid is to ask a Nochri to open the door.
But isn't it better to wait?
Either Nochri is going to.
No, but there's a light there. Isn't it better to take the wire out from the. If you take the wire out from the plug, from the original source, then when you open the door, there's no light, there's no more juice. You wait till the refrigerator pulls out.
Okay.
What?
Okay.
The light works all the time.
No, you don't open the door, there's no light. You take the
door out.
The Mishnah says in Beitzah that on Yontif one is permitted to do Havareh if it's Letzarach Hayom. Let's say the person wants to cook food. In order to cook the food, he has to put logs in the fire in order to have a sufficient fire that the food will cook. It just has a tiny fire, it's not going to cook. So he's permitted to add on logs to the fire on Yontif. That's Havareh, it's Mutar Letzarach Hayom, Nefesh is allowed. What happens, let's say, if he doesn't have any fire at all, so he wants to strike a match? So that the Mishnah says is not allowed. The Pashtun says that it's only Asim Rabban. The Taz and Hilchos Yontav wants to make, right, Moiladesh is Asim Rabban. The Taz wants to say, according to the Rambam, that it's an Issa Derais. But the Achrayim disagree with the Taz. The Pashtun says that even according to the Rambam, it's only an Issa Derabban. But there is such an Issa of Moiladesh. That's a Shaila. Let's say a lot of people have an electric stove. So the burners on top, sometimes if the burners are on very high, so they're red. And sometimes when the burners are on, but they're not so high, so they're still black. So the Pashto says that based on a Rambam, Rav Moshe says based on a Rambam, that when you have metal, and the metal is so hot that it's glowing, that's called Eish, that's called Mavir. If the metal is hot, but it's not glowing, it's not the red hot, then it's not called Mavir. Then it's not called Eish, it's not called Mavir. So if you have, let's say, the electric burner is on, and it's red, so then the woman wants to bench lich, let's say. On the second day, she wants to bench lich. So if she takes her candle and she lights it from the red, from
the... You
can't
light the candle from the red, you have to have a match.
A piece of paper you can light.
Okay, so let's say she wants to light, a fire from the... Let's say you put a match. Yeah. So if you put the match next to the red element, so that's considered taking a flame from an already existing flame. But what happens if the coil is black? It's burning hot. If you put the match on, the match will flare up. It's burning hot, but it's black. So since it's not aish, so that's where Rav Moshe says that it's not allowed. This is based on a Mishnah Berurah. Gecholim, exactly. Gecholim. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes, right? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes at Shmuel from the Ksav Sofer, who writes that if you have hot coals which are black,
yeah,
they're burning hot, they're black, but they're not red. So to put a shvebala, to put a match into the burning hot coals, that it should flare up, is us. Dor HaShulchan writes that he remembers the Aldusto, seeing Gedolim, who held that it was mutter. He writes that it's mutter. But the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Ksav Sofer that it's us. That's what Moshe says about lighting a match in order to bench look, to light a match from the black. Burner would not be allowed unless the burner is now red. So that's why a lot of people leave.
It's just a question of intent. I don't see. It's just a question of intent.
No, that's what the Rambam.
It's just a question.
The Rambam writes. No, the Rambam writes.
Red,
it has
to be giving off energy.
It
doesn't matter if it's red or
it's not red. Intensity of heat, it's only a question of. It's not a question of if you're creating new type of heat. It's a question of intensity of heat. This is less intense and this is more intense, but there is still the same amount of heat.
I don't know, that's what the Rambam writes. The Rambam writes, if you heat metal till it glows, then it's mavir.
Well,
if you don't heat it till it glows, then it's not mavir.
So what if the stew was taking the match from it? If I can get the light.
So on Shabbat, on Yom Tov, you're not permitted to be moitzi eish. You're not permitted to create a new eish, but to carry an eish that already exists to another thing, that is mutar.
But this is carrying an eish from what exists already. Otherwise, it wouldn't burn if I didn't.
No, it's hot. It's hot, but it's not called an eish. It's only called an eish if it's glowing.
all the Ramas I should have to represent the Lord to light the match.
Right.
But the thing, but this itself is not
right. Right, right, right. That's what the Ksav said, right? And it should have based on this Rama.
How about you had a gas tank? You had more fire. To make a stronger fire, can you turn the wrench to make a stronger fire from the pilot like you have to slap something?
Right, right. That means that you're lighting the flame from an already existing flame.
The matter is that if the burn is not hot enough, you can't light a match. It has to be hot in order to light a match.
Yeah, it is hot. Let's say the coals are also hot.
No, if the
black coals are also burning.
If it's not the right edge where it's glowing, you can't even burn the light a match.
Think of a hot radiator, a water radiator, really hot.
Yeah.
You put a match, it'll never go on.
Yeah. Not hot enough.
But the burn is also, the burn is going somewhat red.
Okay.
Like a match.
If it's red, it's okay.
I know
if
red is okay.
As far as smoking, as far as smoking, what you brought up, the Gemara says in Ksubis in the first Mishnah Berurah has a whole attack. Mishnah Berurah very much doesn't like the hetzer to smoke. Right. He quotes all machlek zayantis. He doesn't think that it's allowed. The Nesivis has in his tzavor. The Nesivis writes in his tzavor that if it bids any of his yoytzach halotzim from smoking on the first day yontif, says on the second day yontif, he says let them ask the local Orthodox rabbi. Whatever he'll say is okay. But on the first day yontif their raisa, he asks the tzavor, he asks his descendants from smoking on the first day yontif. The big issue, what is it based on? It's based on the Gemara. Based on the Gemara in Ksubis, where the Gemara says in the first paragraph that one is not permitted to burn mugmer on yontif. Bizmana Mishnah, they used to have a practice, Bizmana Gemara, they would burn incense after the conclusion of the benching. Everybody would sit around and smell the aroma. So the Gemara says, even though it's Echol Nefesh, it's a Hanor, it's a Tzarech Hayom, that's what they do. So the Gemara says in Ksubis that you're not permitted to burn mugmer on Yontif. Why? Because the Pasuk only allows whatever is a Dover Hashav L'Chol Nefesh, something that everybody enjoys. But since only the Gvirim used to enjoy the movement, and a lot of other people didn't enjoy it, so that you're not allowed to do on Yom Tov. If it depends on Dovah Hashav L'chol Nefesh, and the Gvirim can afford it and the paupers can't, so what about to eat deer? Fancy, expensive food. The Gemara gives a tzotzvi, let's say. You're cooking a deer, which is so expensive, so the poor people can't afford that. They buy fish, whatever. And only the wealthy, only a minority of the population uses that, so that should be usur. So now the Gemara gives an answer that's a little problematic what the answer is. So the Gemara seems to answer that if all of the poor people would have money, they would all enjoy the deer. But even if everybody in the world had all the money to burn, they wouldn't all enjoy mukmer. It's still a minority of people who enjoy mukmer.
That may be
relevant, right? Forget that. I mean, you shouldn't be allowed to smoke even on the weekdays.
Yeah,
okay,
right.
Okay. Let's say smoke a cigar. They're all just as, they're all dangerous. Let's say smoke a pipe. A pipe is also. They're all good. Then it's also on the weekdays also. So the Poskim discuss it as follows. Years ago they didn't realize that it was dangerous.
Yeah.
Well, Mishnah Berurah quotes the Machlokes. He doesn't like the head. Yeah. So the Pashtus in the Gemara and the Pashtus in the Gemara Ksubis is the Gemara says it doesn't really depend on how many people practice this Hanoah now. It depends on how many people would theoretically practice it. That to eat deer, if everybody could afford, they would all like to eat deer. Even though the mice are now only 2% of the population eat deer on Yom Tov, that's called Dalosh HaLachol Nefesh. But Mugmer, even if everyone could afford Mugmer, they wouldn't all enjoy it. So that's called Dalosh HaLachol Nefesh. So if that's the time why, then it should follow, let's say if a lot of people smoke, let's say at an earlier period, let's say 30 years ago, 20 years ago, I don't know, when it was very common that a lot of people smoked, a high percentage of people, then it should perhaps be considered Dovah Hashav L'chol Nefesh, L'chir. So there's a Prima Godim in Hilchos Yontav where he quotes the Pnei Yeshua on Shabbos, on Perikira, where the Pnei Yeshua just points out what it says in Tosfos. In the days of the Pnei Yeshua, very few people smoked. It was a very small percentage of the population, but they used to smoke for medical purposes. That's what he said. They used to smoke in order to help digestion of the food. So that's what the doctors recommended in his days. So he writes Ashayla. Are you allowed to smoke these bagpipes or whatever they had? Then are you allowed to smoke them on Yom Tov, considering that hardly anybody smokes it? Says maybe it's not a davar shalachol nefesh. So he says, the Yeshua writes on Kira and Perikira and Shabbos that if you look in the Tosis and Perikira, Tosis gives a different shot in the Gemara and Ksubis. That when the Gemara distinguishes between eating beer as opposed to burning the mugmer, it doesn't depend on how many people would enjoy it if they would be able to afford it and so on. No, it what does that depend on? How many people would enjoy it if they would be able to afford it? So Tosis says, what's pshat in the Gemara? So they say it depends whether it's an aesthetic pleasure as opposed to a healthy thing. If it's a davar that you do with brius, if you warm up water in order to wash the body, or you warm up water in order to drink the hot soup, in order to drink the hot coffee, something that's healthy for the body, food, or something that's healthy. So that's called davar shavu l'chol nefesh. No matter how many people enjoy it, even if the people can't stand taking a bath, but if it's healthy for the body, that's called davar shavu l'chol nefesh by definition. But if it's a matter of aesthetic pleasure, that's not for brius haguf, it's just latinuk bialmo. So Tosis says that is the definition of davar shavu l'chol nefesh. The comments of Pnei Yeshua and comments on that Tosis, that even though it's only a miyuta, the miyuta, a small minority of the population who smoke, but since the doctors say that it's good for their health, so therefore he says it's called davar shavu l'chol nefesh and you're allowed to smoke on yom. That's what the Pnei Yeshua says. So that's in the days of the Pnei Yeshua when the doctor said that it was healthy. But if the doctors assume that it's not healthy today, so then it would be just the reverse. And even if 100% of the population smoke all week long, it would constitute an issur d'oraisa to smoke on Yom Tov, according to that Pnei Yeshua's thesis. Even if everybody smokes, it would constitute an issur d'oraisa to smoke on Yom Tov.
Yeah, Ramesh doesn't really ask to smoke cigarettes.
That it's a difficult shuvah. Yeah. The pashtus is that it's also bein b'chol bein b'shem. In pashtus mitzora, the chumash tells about taharas mitzora, that you have to take shtei tziporim chayos. You have to take two oifis, and one you have to shech, and the dam has to be mixed in with the mayim chayim, and the other one is a tzipa hamisholachas that they send al pnei hasodis. So the Gemara has in Kiddushin the end of the second parak, and in Pesachim, other places, the Gemara learns out from Pesukim that one of the tziporim is muta b'achil, and one of the tziporim is asa b'achil b'hanor. And the Pesukim don't indicate which is which. We have a pasuk that's marbe that there's an oif that should have been kosher that's treif, and there's another oif that you might have thought that it's treif and it's kosher. So the Gemara says we determine mitzad asvara that the tzipor hashchuto is the one that's also b'achil b'hanor, and the tzipor hamshulachas is the one that's muta. How did we figure that out? That the tzipor hamshulachas is muta. So the Gemara says, Atzvara, lo yomer Torah shalach l'takole. It doesn't make any sense that the Torah should say, you send out the tzipor hamshulachas al pnei hasodeh, and someone's going to find it later on, they're going to shecht it. They won't know that this is the tzipor hamshulachas. How are they going to know? It'll be a mikshol. So the Achronim have a famous kasha, the Nadiv Yehudit, Pizchit Shuvan Yeredeya, Simin Tzarek Tes, quotes a famous kasha from the Yeshua, from the Shah Melech. They have a whole tumul on this. What do you mean, shalach l'takola? What's the takola? What, the man who finds it in the forest, he finds this tzipor, is permitted to eat it. You go bust the right, it's bottled the right.
It's
a dimmi de rabban, the balei chayim, achashivi v'loi b'teli. An animal, while it's alive, can't be bottled the right. But in
Atere,
I would say that the din of eim avat and isu l'chadchile, that most of the Rishonim hold that that's only mid rabban. The right of sheep is.
Of the parish.
Beetle, that's the same thing. It's also beetle. You mean Yavish be Yavish. Yavish be Yavish be Paskin is also beetle. It's also beetle.
The Tosis Ridhal there. It's called the parish.
Yeah, but yeah, beetle also.
Somebody was vile, we don't know what it is.
Yeah, that's called the parish.
The person can bottle. So it's not a question of beetle there.
A person is a question. Maybe a person is not bottle manater. That's a different thing. But Balichaim are bottle manater. It's only Yachum Levede Rabban that Balichaim are not bottle. So the Achronim are bothered with the kasha. The Gemara is trying to figure out how do you know on a level of their eisa that the tzipa hamisholachas is muteris. So the Gemara says it must be muteris because lo yom haTorah shalach l'takola. The Torah wouldn't tell you to send out the tzipa hamisholachas to cause somebody a michshol. The poor guy's going to eat a tray for tzipa, he won't know. So they ask, what do you mean he's going to eat a tray for tzipa? It'll be muter because it'll be azlina basaruba, it'll be called a parish, it'll be bitl beray. What's the problem? I would say you're not permitted to set it up l'chatchila, eim avatan isa l'chatchila. So the title of the Ravid sheet is that that's also in our Torah, but the Tosis and the Rov HaRishon we pass in the Yeridaya, the name of Atmanis of HaTchila itself is only also in the Rabban. It's on a level of the Raisa. Where do you see a proof that the tzipa hamshulachas is muteret. Maybe it's really astura. If I'm watching the way they send away the tzipa hamshulachas and I can identify it, maybe I'm talking not allowed to eat it. Maybe the tzipa hashchut is muteret and the tzipa hamshulachas is asura. How can anybody eat it if you don't know? So it's muter because you go
by the. If it's asura,
but minatayra is no problem. Name about the mitzvah hatchil is no easter. It's muta minatayra, and then you go bust the rev later on. So what's the problem? So this leads to know the Yehuda. It would be, but the other shadiminyan is also only with the rabbanon. It's also only with the rabbanon. So how does the gemara know on a level of their raisa to be mecharish that this is the din that the tzipah mishulachas is muta? Because if it would have been oster, you're doing an avera. What avera are you doing? So this leads the Nadi Yehuda to come to his famous conclusion. It comes to a chiddush. When do you say that aim of atun is lachatchila is only asma the rabbanon? That means like this: if I have soup cooking and I pour in a little chaza fats, and that's lach balach, and it's going to be misarev, it's going to be nivval, it's going to disappear, the chaza fats going to disappear, it won't be the end. Then I say that aim of atun is lachatchila is only with the rabbanon. But let's say I go to the store and I buy three salamis, two kosher salamis, one trefa salami. They have no labels on them. I close my eyes and I mix them all up together. And you say that that's only awesome with the Rabbanon. Eim avatin is lachatchil is only awesome with the Rabbanon. So the Nadi Yehuda says if it's a yavish b'yavish, when it's b'yen, the Yisr is the treif, the Yisr is b'yen. If it became the sare, so the din is that there's bottle b'roif. Chad b'treif, bottle because it's yavish b'yavish. Bottle b'roif, b'diyavit. But to be mevatel lachatchil is there, zok, that's an Yisr deraisa. So that's pshat in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, lo'yam atar shalach l'takola. The takola is not for the one, for the farmer who will eat it. Takolas for the coin is sending it, but the one who sends it is violating the Issa, their Issa, they know about the Issa, the Yavish, the Yavish.